enticement of Simple Solutions here with a question. Have you had to wait a week or more to have a household appliance diagnosed? Does that seem like superior service to you and to income property owners? Who is the one who gets yelped on by the tenant? Despite your best efforts to make prompt repairs, who takes the hit to their reputation? At Simple Solutions, my response to service calls is same day or next day. My business goal is never to dispatch more than 3 days out. I have over 10 years local appliance repair experience. More than 9 of those years are with a prominent local appliance company. I have repaired thousands of appliances. You could say, since 2005, I've been someone to trust. So for quicker, expert appliance repair at less cost, Gmail me at simplesolutions911@gmail.com. Give the brand, model number, your contact number, and issue the appliances having. I will phone you back promptly. With Simple Solutions, you have an alternative.
There are few things you can count on. In the North State, it's going to get hot. Well, count on this. Solar shades from Budget Blinds. Solar shades keep sunlight out. The use of solar shades help in reducing indoor temperature during our hot summer days by minimizing the amount of heat allowed indoors during the day, reducing the need for air conditioning. At Budget Blinds, creating your perfect atmosphere at home or at the office is our goal. Budget Blinds comes to you with the latest trends in textures, patterns, colors, and now solar shades. What else? Now listen to this. Ready? What about the exterior? Budget Blinds will help you beat the heat this year with exterior solar screens. That's not all. Install exterior solar screens and receive a rebate of up to $500 from Redding Electric Utility. Did you hear that? Count on being cooler this summer with exterior solar screens and solar shades and a rebate up to $500 to boot. Wow.
Give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Wow, the chat the banter is lively this morning here in the studio. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again for Sovereign Mind Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460. You can go to KCNR1460.com, or you can call in 530-605-4567. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark, Linda, and Red.
And Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, becoming a rapid descent into the unfunded pit of hell. Did I get that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, what?
And come to find out, Jerry Brown's running the place.
Jerry Brown, what a clown.
You got something running on your computer that's coming through.
Oh, I see.
I couldn't figure out what I was hearing.
No, I know what you're talking about. Okay, hold on. I got it right here. I was listening to a segment from Greg Hunter about our guest that we're going to have on later on and got sidetracked. Anyway, is that better?
Much better.
Sorry about that. Anyway, today is Sunday, June 5th, 2016. We are streaming worldwide. Again, you can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567 or shows are all podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Patriots meets every Monday night at 6 p.m., 3276 Bocelli Lane. And they stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, adherence to the Constitution. What's on Monday, do you know?
Gary Cadd and the State of the City of Reading.
Wow, and then we get to vote on Tuesday. Yay! Oh, boy. We have, you've been listening to Jefferson State of Mind. You want to become a 51ster and go to SOJ51.net. And we have a very special guest in the studio with us today, Bill Chappell, who's running for supervisor once again, I guess to get reelected.
Reelected, yes. This will be my second term.
Well, gosh, I would say, hey, great deal, but I mean, it's almost like a, you know, one of those things that you don't want to wish on somebody, you know.
No, you know, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the 4 years I've been able to help my constituents a bit with their problems. Most all the, you know, all the resolve is with local issues. That's about as far as we can reach, because we got the state of California that has most of the control over everything. So. But we can work with our own entities, public works, resource management, as far as regards for permits and things like that, all those kinds of special needs. If people end up coming to me and saying, man, Bill, how come this costs too much money? Or why are they telling me I can't get this or something? And so then so far I've been 100% resolving the problem.
Good.
I can't say that we've resolved them 100% as far as the problem goes. But we've got it to where every one of them has been satisfied. So that's been good for me, and that makes me happy. I've been in Shasta County for 38 years, businessman up here for 25 years, and I really understand the workings of the government and understand how, you know, the permit process works and all the various government entities. Believe me, Lakeshore Marina, we must have had about 15 different government entities that we were working with. And some of this stuff gets pretty ridiculous at times.
You're not saying that the government's out of control, are you?
Well, I think it's just a tad out of control, or maybe their wheel is lopsided. They got like a flat tire, but if they turn it around, it's not going to be flat anymore.
See,
I don't know.
I don't think "tad" means the same thing to you as it does to me. I'm pretty sure it's like way over.
They're slightly colored outside the lines.
Yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, just a bit. Well, you know, so the next term, what is the term on the Super Bowl?
It's 4 years.
4 years. Mm-hmm. So if you get reelected, you'll be in there for the next 4 years.
That's correct. Be there for the next 4 years. I run with the presidents. And like I say, it's, you know, I've been into areas. I was at Craigview, for instance. Let's take Craigview. They told me up there, they've been up there for one resident who was up there for 38 years. He says, I've never talked to a supervisor, let alone seen one. So I'll go out, outreach. I had a problem in Lakehead with a guardrail that wasn't made quite long enough. And, Pat Minturn, you know, with public works.
Yeah, we know who Pat Minturn is.
They had some problems. They didn't understand what was really going on. So I just went out there, took a bunch of pictures. Because what happened is what they did, they took a bunch of trees out and left this big opening where somebody could drive through and end up in the lake. So got it extended for them. There's things like that. We saved the dump at Lakehead. That was a big deal, and I'm not sure the residents of Lakehead even realized how serious that could have been. The Forest Service was going to nix the permit.
How far?
And pulled it up.
How far north do you go? Because I actually hauled hay yesterday, and I was driving up I-5, and I went by that flat. What is it?
Pollard Flats.
Pollard Flats, yeah. I saw your sign out there, and I go, wow, I didn't know we were this far north.
Go to Siskiyou County.
All the way up to Dunsmuir, then,
yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, almost, actually. Like Craigview, part of it's in Dunsmuir, which would be Siskiyou County, and part of it's in Shasta County. So when I turn off, there's two turnoffs, but if I take the northern turnoff, and when I go right, come back south, I end up back in Shasta County. So it's kind of confusing where it is, you know, the county lines.
Do you think these districts have been gerrymandered?
You know, I don't for sure. Who knows?
How did they determine
if there was ever a way to ever get things one-sided, lopsided and everything, and they'd let the government take care of it, that's what will happen. It'll be that way, and it could be gerrymandered, and it could be at the point of who knows whose benefit it was actually to be established for.
Yeah, because it looks like when I look at the map and I see these districts, I go, what did they do this with darts, a Ouija board? How did they, how did they determine these boundaries? It just seems like it's so arbitrary that it's ridiculous.
Well, we're supposed to have equal equal people in each of the five districts, and all of us have a touch of Reading.
So it's supposed to be by population?
Yeah, by population. Yeah. And then David Kehoe, he's got all of Reading because he's District 1, and that's total Reading.
So that doesn't make sense, does it, that one guy has total Reading?
Well, we all have a piece of it. He has the majority of Reading. I mean, we have all of the other four districts go into Reading at a touch. Hmm. Yeah, but then he's got the Reading. Yeah.
Well, I'm not too enamored with the rest of the board, to be quite frank with you. I mean, I think your voting record's been stellar. You've been for the state of Jefferson. But I got to say, I think the other guys are a bunch of schleps, quite frankly, looking at their voting record and what they supported. When I see Leonard Modi, and this, I'm not trying to speak for you here, but when I see Leonard Modi in his commercial, I want to throw something at the TV. It's like, gee, I think a good leader is one who listens to everybody. Let's see, everybody but your constituents, right?
That applies to everybody else except him.
I don't. You know? I don't want to beat Leonard up this morning. Yeah, but
I do.
We will.
We'll take over for you.
I mean, that is the most disingenuous commercial I've ever seen in my life. Well, okay, maybe not. I've watched Hillary's commercials lately too, but it's unbelievable that the guy sits there and goes, hey, you know, I'm here to listen to other people's ideas, and they completely shut down the state of Jefferson like it was, you know.
Yeah. Well, the man sat across the desk from me, looked me in the eye, and said the Constitution of the United States is too generic a document to enforce. Flat said it, right to my face.
And he got elected how?
I didn't vote for him.
I'm getting acid indigestion.
No, you know, I mean, I was, you know, obviously I was involved in that, and I was one of the ones that wanted to see it go forward, and I had asked some of the people that were, you know, running it, Mark and Terry and them, those guys, and I said, well, the biggest problem most of our guys got here, speaking of the supervisors, is that they want to know the financial aspect of it. So they had a really nice, I think it was 58 pages, a booklet of all finance, and we just got it presented to us that day. And I said, we don't even have time to review this. Why are you guys trying to vote on this right now? We should bring this back for review. And the problem is, and I can say sometimes it's a setup. I think I can get away with that one okay without getting beat up too bad. But they all had 3 minutes. And so in that 3 minutes, what are you going to say? You're just going to talk about how great it is, but you're not getting into the crux and the problems and what everybody else wants to bring up, how we're going to finance this, how we're going to do that, how we're going to do entitlements, how we're going to take care of medical, you know, and law enforcement and all that stuff. And so you don't have time to say that. And Mark, one of them, should have been able to come back and do a 15-minute presentation.
Well, that was the whole ball of wax.
Yeah.
That was the whole ball of wax was to get a presentation before so they could lay out all of these different issues in front of the board so you could see, okay, here's the financials, here's this, here's that, so that you see that this is a viable thing. And they voted it down 4-1 that they didn't even want to hear the presentation. Now, that tells me that, you know, they don't care about their constituents. They don't care about representing anybody.
Well, I can say this. I can say that was a prejudged decision.
Well, that's one of the things that we've always been curious about is, number one, we went well within our rights to ask to redress our grievances to our form of government, which was denied, which is a violation of the First Amendment. And then second, my question is how was the board capable of coming to a predetermined decision before the meeting ever occurred without violating the Brown Act?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
Well, you never know what goes on behind closed doors, you know what I mean?
Well, speaking of past boards, we know some of what was going on behind closed doors.
But I mean,
not mentioning any names.
Just for me. You know, I mean, the way I feel about any of that stuff is that we have supposed to have a freedom of speech, and I believe that's in the California Constitution also. And I think that, you know, we need to provide that with everybody, even if I don't really, let's say I don't like the issue. I really don't really like it, but if I had to make a decision whether I would hear them or not hear them, I would not make it on the basis because I don't like what they're saying. I would make it on the let them talk, let them say, let the people behind it make the decisions. That's something we'll be totally lost in both the federal and state government. They've taken the people out of the government.
Well, there's no longer an exchange in the marketplace of ideas. It's either you believe what we do or we shut you down. And that's really across the board.
That's correct.
That's the problem. I mean, it's a strong debate of the ideas and the issues is basically what we're supposed to be doing in the first place, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's supposed to be made up of people, and that's what always made America strong. You know, I mean, America's always had crooked governments and various and things that happened and centuries type stuff that goes on all throughout all the history of America. But the majority part of it, the major part of it, is that the people did have say-sos at one time, and the people did have representation at one time. But California is honest to goodness. They're passing laws that should be voted on by the public. And I feel sorry for the public because they don't have time to look all this stuff up because generally they're both working now because of the economics. People that both have to have husband and wife working, unless the husband or the wife's got a real professional job where they don't need the other spouse to work. But the thing is that it's where they can't, they don't have those types of things when they vote on, they're almost stealth. They're quiet. I mean, Carver is one that they just went off. And this really surprises me. They went off and they developed Delaware Corporation. Delaware Corporation is in Delaware.
A private corporation, by the way.
It's private, yes. And I mean, it's totally, you know, public funds are supposed to have transparency. That's in the California Constitution. But they put a trailer bill, and I've got it in here somewhere, right on a bill that they knew was going to pass. And so their trailer bill said they don't have to have it. And now they got $58 million stashed into this Delaware corporation that absolutely is quiet. And where does that money go? That money goes to special interest groups or certain parties for their campaign funding and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got Solyndra in San Jose. $500 million went broke. Where did the money go? Say they spent $100 million. Where did the other $400 million go?
Well, that's like the CARB funds can be traced directly into Oregon and former Governor John Kitzhaber and some of the bribes he was receiving that eventually brought down his governorship.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by special interest groups.
That's happened locally here, too.
What they want, and that's how they fund what they want.
Right. Well, that's what happened locally here, too.
Yeah, that's what happens locally here is when you have a project in Shasta County, the county board goes out and decides that you have to mitigate something, and you have to pay off a mitigation bank, a la Glenn Hawes, who then receives that money and distributes it to a private fund. It's called the Wallner Family Fund, who then distributes that money to certain candidates on our board.
Yeah,
who just happen to get elected every single year with not much opposition.
Yeah,
interesting.
No, I guess it's the way the game's played, but I mean, a lot of people aren't aware of it, you know. I mean, we had that. We developed a battery company in France. Why France? I have no idea. $100 million behind it. Never produced one battery. It's broke. Obamacare. That's actually now in the billions of dollars, and that was $750 million to develop. And the people that came on the radio and on the TV and everything, they said they could do that for $10 to $15 million. So let's say it took them $100 million to do it. I mean, where'd the other $650 million go? That's where they get these large funds, this large amount of money, to fund the person that they want to put in, and it's to run their agenda. So basically, what we're doing is we're paying taxes to beat ourselves up.
Yeah.
Well, because it's our money. At our money, we're paying, right? And they take it and they twist it around and get it spun off into something else. And they do what they want to do with their agenda. Yeah.
And then dole it back to us pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Even locally, one of the ones that we are trying to track down and have been for months is, where's all the money from the red light tickets?
That'd be an interesting question.
Yeah. We're
still trying to find out.
According to the court, Larry Lees has those numbers. According to Larry Lees, the court has those numbers. Nobody will give us a straight answer on
that. And I'll tell you, the funds all are. Of this is more than a miscalculation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not.
Well, that's a private entity, too. You know, they get quite a bit of that money coming back to them.
It's millions of miscalculations.
Yeah.
Well, it shouldn't be that hard to track it down.
The only one that we have figured out what the disbursement to Redflex is. We've figured out what the disbursement to the city of Reading is and how much that they've had. But there's, on the county end of it, there's about 3.5 million miscalculations that nobody seems to even know where the records are of that money.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go back to the signed contract. I don't know about that brought Redflex in. It was signed with Rick Bassetti, okay, who signed it with Karen Finley, who was at the time the CEO for Redflex. And she pleaded guilty to bribery and conspiracy charges in Illinois for bribing officials to get the Redflex camera system into being in different cities.
Yeah, she actually turned state evidence to avoid over 20 different indictments.
Yeah, and that's the kind of a system that we have in place here in Redding, California, where they just rape the citizenry, you know, and nobody can do anything about it, and they just it's $450 a pop on a ticket.
$460. I just got one about a year ago.
I got one too. Fought it in court. Fought it down. I got it down to $200, and I'm actually considering going to jail at this point because I think I'm going to refuse to pay it. I mean, I would rather go sit in jail to prove a point. Then pay these guys because it's ridiculous.
I have a question. So it was over $20?
Yeah.
Were you afforded a jury trial?
No. I even brought that up to the judge. I said, hey, I thought this was America where any controversy, according to the Constitution, any controversy over $20 in a civil matter, you're afforded a jury trial. And she goes, well, I interpreted the Constitution different. Those were her exact words. I interpret the Constitution differently than you do.
What is there to misinterpret about that?
I don't know.
Who gave her the authority to interpret her way?
Those were her exact words. I just wanted to get it onto the record. That's why I asked. Yeah. Why can't I ask for a jury trial here? Because I think if I had a jury of my peers from Reading who have been getting hammered by this outrageous theft of the public monies and putting into a coffer that we don't even know where the monies are going, signed by a criminal, a contract with a criminal organization, is there a problem here, or am I missing something?
No.
I don't know. We probably better go into something a little more positive.
We probably need to go to a break and then come back, and we'll pick up this conversation about other things that are going on in our county. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the latest and leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still are seen, sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
There
are few things you can count on. In the North State, it's going to get hot. Well, count on this. Solar shades from Budget Blinds. Solar shades keep sunlight out. The use of solar shades help in reducing indoor temperature during our hot summer days by minimizing the amount of heat allowed indoors during the day, reducing the need for air conditioning. At Budget Blinds, creating your perfect atmosphere at home or at the office is our goal. Budget Blinds comes to you with the latest trends in textures, patterns, colors, and now solar shades. What else? Now listen to this. Ready? What about the exterior? Budget Blinds will help you beat the heat this year with exterior solar screens. That's not all. Install exterior solar screens and receive a rebate of up to $500 from Redding Electric Utility. Did you hear that? Count on being cooler this summer with exterior solar screens and solar shades, and a rebate up to $500 to boot. Wow.
Give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, Linda and I welcome Rhonda Paul and James Masada as we talk about Enjoy the Magazine, Enjoy the Store, what's happening in Northern California this month. Also, more on the politics, more on the election, and again, urging everyone to go out and vote on Tuesday in the primaries. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Riding down the highway, going to a
Okay, we're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. I guess we got to actually talk. We're having a lot of chat here in the studio today. It's fun stuff. I gotta say I love that song for some reason. Those bagpipes just put goose pimples on the back of my head.
Couldn't be the Irish.
Nah, maybe. I don't know.
Some kind of genetic memory there.
Yeah, something's going on. I'm not sure what.
Suddenly I want a sword and an Englishman in front of me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, oh boy. I'll tell you what. We've been talking to Bill Chappelle here, and you know, we're going to try to go into a positive direction here, if that's possible, about what we can do, as well as some of the problems here. But let's talk about this regional government thing that we were discussing.
You know, because I read a lot about the one world takeover and splitting everything up in regional governments. I know there's a lot of people that probably think it's all baloney, yeah, just not real, but it is real, and it's been part of a plan for several years. In fact, it's gone on since about 1500 in the world. The families that are participating in it now, there's a couple of them that have been doing it since the late 1700s. So it's been going on for a long time, and they've been gaining some super traction right now with President Obama. Basically, he's destroying the economy of America and the schooling.
The schooling
should have never been done by the federal funds, but this was called Intercoast Range Conservancy.
Let me read this little. I got a little paragraph here. This is from G. Edward Griffin, who wrote the book The Creature from Jekyll Island. And he says, Obamacare is just the tip of the iceberg. Collectivism has been the dominant force in all governments of the world, especially the United States, since World War I. Collectivism is the cause of almost all economic and social decay since that time. Let us work hard to awaken our fellow citizens to the reality in time to prevent the process of running full course into global totalitarianism. Boy, I'm having trouble getting that out. I mean, it's being recognized what you're saying across the board, because the internet has changed the rules of where we're getting our information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not even trying to hide themselves really anymore.
No, they're not.
Recently, the Council of Foreign Affairs ran a full page report on how the United States should be turned into seven separate regional governments.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can honestly deny it anymore.
So regionalism is the model that they used in the Soviet Union for a while. That's what the Soviet Union stands for, basically, is regional government.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what, you know, this agency.
Well, what happened a few meetings ago, it was April 19th, we had it was on our consent agenda just to go ahead and agree to go with the flow with the other 13 counties. Lake County is the only one that I know that actually had approved, had said that they want to do that. And when I saw that Coastal Regional Conservancy, and I looked up conservancy in the Webster Dictionary, and it talks about land, water, and birds. It hasn't gotten anything about people. So I started digging into it and everything, and there's actually, you know, RCRC, let me go backwards just a little bit, is Rural County Representatives of California. They have 35 counties in their organization. Most of them are all Northern California counties, but we do have Napa. We've got San Bernardino and a couple of counties like that. They're actually, sounds kind of weird that they're not north, but they're not, because they're small counties without any representation. You know, Reynolds and Sims come along 64, they knocked our representation out, so we don't have a Senate that represents us anymore. Or if they do represent us, there's not enough numbers to even be considered. And so what I do, we have the opportunity of a supervisor, Les Boss, the chairman. He goes to these meetings. But at the end of every year, they have a three-day up in Tahoe conference, and I go to that. I'm the only other supervisor that goes to that, because I like to talk to those guys up there, because when you talk to them, they have the same problems we have, you know, and it's been really interesting. And so when I was looking this up, there was a lot of problems that I could see with it, because the county, let's just go over the counties. The counties that were actually involved in it, this is, it's It's a Senate bill, and it is 1396. And Lois Walk of Democrat and Davis, I guess, is the one that introduced it. There's some other senators that actually were behind it also. And it established an intercoastal range conservancy, and it is it has Colusa, Del Norte, Glen, Humboldt, Lake Mendocino, Napa, Shasta, Siskiyou, Solano, Tama, Trinity, and Yellow. And it'll take the western part of Shasta. And when we talked about in it, they always paint this big, nice picture. We're going to have funds to help you out with your property. We're going to be able to do things with water, you know. Well, anytime they talk about water, and our government now talks about water, it's how they want to control it. It isn't that they're going to come in and help you out and show maybe give you some funds to help you with maybe some better irrigation or whatever you can do if you're growing stuff or how to reduce your water by different water means. I mean, San Diego did that years ago. And that's why I'm talking about that when I used to fight the water stuff back when I was in the Lakeshore Resort and Marina. But our representation, there's going to be 13 unelected, appointed California people out of the California government, and 6 representatives that would be actually from the various counties. So we're already outvoted.
Right. So what that would do would actually completely change our form of government so that the local people would not have any representation at their county. They would have to go to this regional unelected group to ask for permission or to do things or get things changed. And who's for this on the board? I mean,
But wait a minute. They'll give you your money back.
Oh, yeah, let's see. I get to pay them my dollar, and I get 40 cents back, 30 cents back on my dollar. And where'd the rest of it go? It's like, poof, you know.
Yeah. But what happened, most of the board members, I mean, actually, when we got there, all of the other 4 were really thinking it was a good idea because they're talking about the Sierra Conservancy, which actually was done a long time ago. I believe it was done in 2000. It actually helps the people. But this one had ramifications. That where I went with the question I asked him is, Mr. Jones has 10,000 acres. You know, what control does he have over that? He doesn't have a control over it if they come in there and tell him what he has to do with the water and everything.
That effectively limits private property.
Well, it does, right. Because it can what they could do, they could do a water grab, you know.
Right.
And so we know, I mean, if they're going to do a water grab, where is that grab going to come from? It's going to come from the north and go to the south.
So well, essentially, you become a tenant leasee on your own.
Well,
land.
Fundamentally,
you
that's...
You could, yeah. That,
well,
yeah,
that's the fundamental tenant of freedom. Yeah, yeah. If you no longer have property rights, you no longer have freedom because you're always subject to the people who are controlling your rights, whether it's water, the land, you take your pick. Now, so we know that Les Baugh's for this is...
Not anymore,
yeah. Okay. And then we know that Leonard Modi...
Yes, he was the one that presented it. He had a presenter present it.
Okay.
Can you imagine the opportunities it presents him to steal?
Kehoe?
Kehoe actually backed off when he found out. See, when I started talking, I had about 9 pinpointed questions. And when I was talking about where's the money come from, because they're talking about this money they're going to give everybody. It comes from the taxpayer.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it has to, right? You know?
Well.
And then when David found that out, he wasn't all for that. And then Les Baugh, once I asked a bunch of questions, Les Baugh went back and reiterated some of my questions with some other questions of his own. And so instead of us saying, yeah, we would like to go, you know, we want to go forward and we're going to endorse this, we said no. And this is what I do. This is what people understand. This is what I do on the board. And I'm the only one, actually, that does this, that brings these kinds of things up to the attention. No, let's wait. Well, they would have. 2 days later, Les Baugh went to an RCRC meeting. And remember I said Lake County was saying they were in it? All those counties I mentioned, which is 13 counties, all said no, they don't want it. Because they finally read through and found out that what it really means and what it really can be, you know, construed as.
Because, it's a Trojan horse.
It's a Trojan horse. They always make something look like it's beautiful. And then but if you don't look at the words and the wording really closely, it's meant to fool you.
Well, totalitarianism always comes bearing gifts.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who would want it? And then, so Giacomini, where's she on it?
Well, she was for it, and she didn't actually ask any questions or after that. It was actually what came on board was first David and then Les, and then we kind of said, okay, we're just going to back off on this for a little bit. And the gentleman that presented it was a nice guy, and I felt kind of sorry for him because I think he's been sold a bill of goods that, you know, that's not really there. And so when Les brings that up to the next meeting, he says, guess what, RCRC, their action was opposing it. They just flat opposed it. So, in fact, I got the minutes here. But
Who would you like to see on the board? I mean, we've got some freedom candidates out there, Steve Baird, Janet Chandler, you, Don Cohen, I guess is, I'm not sure, I'm not familiar with her or him.
Conan, he's out of Nevada County. He's a write-in candidate for Assembly District 1.
Okay, and then we've got Gary Catt. You guys are all about freedom and following the Constitution, supporting the state of Jefferson, that type of thing. We kind of went over the board as it exists. Who would you like to see in there? Would you still keep the same board? Would you like to see other people get involved, like Janet Chandler, for one, as an example? Anybody else in mind?
I don't really want to comment on that. I don't want to influence somebody with a vote or something that I would rather them just stand on their own districts and see where they're at. But I would definitely like this, that for me, I'd like to find the individuals that are on the board. They need to look at the various issues that come in front of us and look at them from all perspectives. In other words, what does this do for Shasta County? What does this do for Shasta County citizens? What's the detriment that it has? And really understand that some of the stuff that we pass isn't good, okay? I mean, the other day we entertained the idea, you know, Jerry Brown wants to go to 50% renewable energy, I think, by 2020.
Well, Jerry Brown just signed a bill to let all illegal aliens vote. So Jerry Brown is not exactly on our team.
And I told him, I actually said yes. I said yes for the letter, but I brought up my concerns because you can't solar. It's not going to work. The only thing that's going to work is a power generation, you know,
dams.
If you want, regeneration. If you want 50% renewable energy, let us build Shasta Dam and the hydroelectric clean power that we get out of it. As part of the equation.
We need to look at the dams, yeah. I mean, solar power and windmills. Windmills, I mean, I looked it up the other day in the Livermore area. They've got almost 900 of them, and every one of them are shut down right now because they kill birds.
So
I said they want to try to do this stuff. Cogeneration plants is what I'm trying to say. Cogeneration plants would be good.
All the windmills are shut down there in Altamont Pass?
Yes.
I haven't been down there for a while. Are you kidding me? It's like, what is this, Don Quixote or something? I mean, good.
Well, that's what I said when you talk about solar or windmills. What's going to happen? You got to pass the environmental people, right? So then I got to thinking, well, because I used to live in that area, and I mean, it's huge. If you ever see it, it's 890 something. Well, I'm just rounding it up a little bit to 900 of them, and they're all shut down because they've killed too many birds.
Well, they're doing that all over the country. I have a friend of mine that's a sky climber. He's he inspects windmills and installs motors and stuff like that. And he's all the way out in Maine right now because they're the only place the windmills are running. Traditionally, he's here in California or Texas or Oklahoma. All those windmills are shut down. Any work they're doing is inspection only.
Yeah. And they're trying to design a windmill right now that won't kill birds.
And with that, we need to go to a break. Again, if you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North Bay.
Mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what the mama saw, it was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned.
Papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Hi, I'm Cody Titus with Properties by Merit. Whether you're buying or selling a home, you can count on me to get the best results. Not only do I represent both residential and land, but I also specialize in rural properties and ranches. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become a reality. Call or text me today, Cody Titus, at 209-0721.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Well, I just finished with Fox News talking about two critical issues. The IRS, again, trying to squelch free speech rights of conservative and Christian organizations. And at the same time, the Supreme Court agreeing to hear two cases involving the HHS mandate now at the Supreme Court of the United States. And I was thinking, you know, someone has to be watching out for what's going on in this. We need people on the watchtower. And that brought up this.
Come on! Ow! Yay!
There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. Can't get no relief. Businessman, they drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the vine. No matter of it is worth. No, no, no! But the thief kindly spoke. There are many among us here who fear that life's but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and it's not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour's getting late.
Yeah, that's actually, knocking stuff over here. That's actually Jay Sekulow, John Schlitt, Jay Sekulow and Friends Band. He's the attorney for the ACLJ, who's been going after the IRS, among a bunch of other cases. you know, the targeting of conservative organizations and so forth. And they got a pretty good band. I mean, I was looking for Sweet Judy Blue Eyes this morning. They do a great version of it. I think it's better than Crosby, Stills. And so anyway, I had to play that little intro because it's like it just is such a sign of the times. Here we've got attorneys playing Jimi Hendrix songs, talking about how the government is screwed up.
And they need to be watched.
And we need to be on the watchtower.
And with that, I believe we have a caller on the line. We got Mike from Reading has a question for our guest. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good morning.
Good, good. You're on the air.
Quick question for your guest this morning. On Friday, on this radio station, obviously a different show, the incumbent supervisor in District 3 was answering a question regarding the sales tax increase that the city of Reading wants to impose on all county residents. And that supervisor said that the Board of Supervisors had no input or had no impact on it. That was a city decision. And is that true, that the Shasta County Board of Supervisors is now being run by the city of Reading?
Excuse me, I don't know. Did you hear the program yourself?
Yes, I did hear the program.
Okay, so because I want to make sure we didn't misinterpret anything, because no, we did have the presentation, and we did agree with to the tax sharing with the city of Reading, providing for me. I said before I'd ever go with the city of Reading, because city in Reading's politics isn't always up and up, and they could change things in a heartbeat. And the thing is that if we don't have some sort of an ironclad contract, then they could pull the amount of tax sharing revenue that the Shasta County would get and just keep it all themselves. One of the benefits that occurs out of that tax sharing for the county is our jail. They're going to supply money for the jail. I believe it was 5,800,000. That figure could be wrong, but it's up in there somewhere. It could have been just reversed 8,500,000, but which would give us some improvements to where we could actually add additional beds to the old jail down in the basement floor in the first floor. And see, what happens is in the county jail, the city of Reading currently doesn't provide any funds to help Shasta County out with that jail, so it's all on us. So, and the majority of the people that are locked up are from the city of Reading. So,
I understand all that, and I'm okay. All for more jail space and more mental health services. My problem with this whole issue is that apparently the weak Shasta County Board of Supervisors doesn't have the fortitude to stand up to the city of Reading and say no. They're gonna tax everybody in this county that shops in the city of Reading. There's no Walmart in Fall River. There's no Lowe's in Shingletown. People out of the county have to come to the city to shop.
Right.
And half of the residents of Shasta County do not get a chance to vote on a tax that is going to impact them. And I find it amazing that
you will get a chance to put the public will get a chance to put their input in on.
No, they won't, because the city of Reading is going to pass the tax here locally, and anybody that shops in the city of Reading is going to have to pay for it.
No,
don't get a chance to vote on that.
No, you get a chance to vote.
Only the residents of the city of Reading get to vote on this sales tax. The county residents who live outside the city do not get the opportunity to vote on it. How can you be a supervisor and not understand that?
Well,
the
way I
understand
it,
the residents of the county are going to get taxed, and they don't get a chance to vote on it.
It's going to go out to all the people that it's going to affect for a vote. That's the way I understand it.
Okay. Everybody in the county.
Everybody in the county is going to have a chance.
So
to
everybody
vote
in the county will be able to vote
county
on
city
on the city's
yeah
tax.
Yeah.
New tax.
Yeah, and we're not, you know, I'm not 100% for it right now, because I want to make sure that it doesn't get changed, and it could with the city of Reading. They could just say, oh yeah, well we said that, but now we're going to do this. So that's
because it does affect a wide margin of people. It affects everybody in the county.
Yeah.
It affects people in Trinity County,
yeah,
Tehama County, Siskiyou County, Lassen County,
yeah,
because Reading is the hub where certain services can be found only in Reading.
And it's going to help us with our mental services, and also it'll add some sheriffs on the sheriff's
you know, also for more sheriffs. But
well, see, my understanding and looking at the sales tax plan is the money generated by the sales tax for law enforcement and public safety will not be in addition to the funds that are already there. They'll be used to replace the funds they're going to divert to try and cover CalPERS.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that, and I hope not. The funds, the only way that that could be ever go through me is that the funds have to be placed in the fund, that's where it goes, and that's what it's done for public safety. And actually, that's what it's supposed to be able to do, is bring more Reading police in. And
They're going to cut us off at the top of the hour.
We're at the top of the hour, and we want to thank you for coming in, Bill. Please remember, Tuesday we will be voting. And we have a special guest coming on after the top of the hour, so stay tuned with us. Thanks again, Bill, for coming in and sharing time with us.
Thank you.
This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich says Donald Trump's criticism of a federal judge hearing a lawsuit against Trump University is one of the candidate's, quote, worst mistakes and is, quote, inexcusable. Gingrich on Fox News Sunday says Trump has to recognize that he's now the potential leader of the U.S. and should move his game to a new level. Plenty of Republican leaders are supporting Trump, however, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
One thing we know for sure is that Hillary Clinton will be 4 more years, just like the last 8. All the slow growth, the lack, America's clearly underperforming. And I think we need to go in a different direction. And whatever you think about Donald Trump, he's certainly in a different direction. I think that's what the country needs.
He spoke to NBC TV's Meet the Press program. Millions of people along the Gulf and East Coasts are getting set to ride out severe weather today. A system affecting the Gulf Coast could become a tropical storm. Forecasters say severe thunderstorms, damaging winds, and tornadoes threaten the East Coast. The flooding in Texas persists, and some parts of the West are under extreme heat warnings. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is preparing to address a joint meeting of Congress this week. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has a preview.
The Prime Minister's address on Wednesday follows his meeting with President Obama on Tuesday. This will be the Prime Minister's 4th visit to the U.S. since his Hindu Nationalist Party swept elections in May of 2014. He also becomes the 5th Indian Prime Minister to address both houses of Congress. In addition to that address, Prime Minister Modi will have lunch with congressional leaders and will attend a reception hosted by the House and Senate Foreign Relations Committees. During this visit, Modi could face some tough questions from lawmakers on India's human rights record. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
The world's goodbye to boxing legend and humanitarian Muhammad Ali happens later this week in his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. The private service Thursday, public events on Friday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Attention all timeshare owners. Were you a victim of a high-pressure or dishonest timeshare sales agent? Were you confused with what you were buying or didn't provide what you were promised? Do you feel that you overpaid for your timeshare, can't afford it? Or do you simply not use it anymore and just want out? If you answered yes to any of these questions, we can help. We're Timeshare Compliance, and every day we help hundreds of timeshare victims protect their rights. Our team can legally terminate your timeshare agreement, ending the payments forever, saving you thousands. In some cases, we can even get you a refund of the fees you previously paid. But you must act now. Call 800-811-7670. Or visit TimeshareCompliance.com for a free consultation. We can help you save thousands, but only if you call 800-811-7670. Or visit TimeshareCompliance.com for an absolutely free consultation. That's 800-811-7670 or TimeshareCompliance.com.
The Riverside Grand Palais Exhibition Hall in Paris is reopened today as floodwaters are slowly receding from the French capital. Though risks remain in other areas, the Louvre, some train stations, and other sites remain closed. After the worst flooding in 3 decades caused the Seine River to burst its banks, at least 18 people have been killed in flooding across parts of Germany, France, Romania, and Belgium. New thunderstorms forecast for eastern France today. More rain in the forecast elsewhere. The Philippine president-elect has encouraged the public to help him in his war against crime and urged citizens with guns to shoot and kill drug dealers if they resist arrest. Rodrigo Duterte told a huge crowd celebrating his presidential victory last night in the southern city of Davao that Filipinos who would help him in the bloody war against criminality will be rewarded. The longtime Davao mayor won the May 9th presidential election. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Washington state regulators have unveiled an updated plan to limit greenhouse gas emissions from large polluters.
The proposed rule requires large industrial emitters to reduce carbon emissions over time. It would cover several industries, including power plants, oil refineries, fuel distributors, pulp, and paper mills. Washington would join nearly a dozen states, including California, that have capped carbon pollution from industrial sources. Governor Jay Inslee has called climate change, quote, the single most important issue of our time, but so far has failed in the state legislature to pass ambitious carbon reduction proposals.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, June the 5th, the 157th day of 2016. There are 209 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1933, the U.S. went off the gold standard. And on this date in 1968, Senator Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated after claiming victory in California's Democratic presidential primary. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, this is Carl Bott here to tell you about the good folks at Muse Concrete. Boyce and Joan Muse, along with their fantastic crew, have been bringing homes, parks, stadiums, and so much more to the Reading community for over three decades. Muse Concrete is also proud to bring exciting programs like high school football and Reading Colt 45's baseball to the airwaves right here on KCNR 1460. Muse Concrete, an uncompromising commitment to quality and integrity since 1982. Check them out online, museconcrete.com. Great people doing great work.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. We're back. We're going to have Gary Cadd on at 11, and then we're going to try to go over that 2% sales tax and see if we can get clarification on the boundaries of how that's going to be voted on and so forth. So, but right now we have a special guest, Helen Davis Chatman, I believe is how she pronounces it. And I'll tell you what, I saw this, and her website is J.P. Madoff, and I'll tell you, it's just so much information here, it's unbelievable. She was involved as an attorney with the prosecution of Bernie Madoff, I believe, some of the other banks, the fines that were levied, and I mean, there's so much going on here, I can't even relate it all, but let's see if we can try to get started on this, and Helen, you know, she's got a commitment made to make this world a better place, and she sees a problem, she tries to fix it. And so the fact is we've got a mafia-style financial system that's gone crazy. Is that pretty close to, Helen, are you there?
I sure am, and you've described it very accurately. Everyone focused on Bernie Madoff, who committed the largest financial crime in history, $64.8 billion, impacting the savings of about 65,000 people. So it was a massive crime, but if you look a little bit beneath the surface, there's a secret that nobody has disclosed until I wrote this book, and that is that Bernie Madoff could not have committed this crime but for the knowing complicity of J.P. Morgan Chase, America's largest bank that does business with 50% of American households.
Wow. I mean, isn't this pretty much most all of the big banks at this point? I mean, you know, aren't they all complicit here one way or another, it seems like, whether it's HSBC and their fines and Citibank and Goldman Sachs? I mean, these guys all seem to be thick as thieves.
I think that they have modeled their business structure on the mob, because they have all of the major banks. I could have written my book about Bank of America, about HSBC, about Goldman Sachs. They all have embraced a strategy of violating the law, knowingly violating the law, because it's so profitable to do so. Most of the banks pled guilty to fixing the London interbank offer rate, LIBOR. They also pled guilty to criminal violations of the antitrust laws by fixing the foreign exchange rates. There's no law that they won't break. And then, unfortunately, the Obama administration has embraced an incomprehensible policy that if you're very rich, you don't get prosecuted.
Well,
so JP Morgan Chase makes political contributions, and then nobody goes to jail. They just go on to the next crime.
Wow. I mean, you got something, Red?
Well, that's what I was going to say. We often joke around the office that the trick is to make sure you steal more than you're going to be fined.
Yeah, well, the trick is to share your profits with the people in power, and then they'll be sure not to prosecute you.
They just promote you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're not working at Goldman Sachs before you get to the Treasury, in fact, I don't think there's been a Treasury Secretary in the last 20, 30, 40 years that I can think of that didn't start out at one of the banks.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Nobody goes to jail. They've, you know, looking at your website here at jpmadoff.com, I encourage everybody to go there and check out. You've got everything documented, all the court paperwork, you know, all the fines that have been levied. It's like $64 billion of levies, and these guys pleaded guilty to criminal charges, and nobody goes to jail. Nothing happens.
You know, just in the last 4 years, and you're referring to this roulette wheel that I have on my website. Just in the last 4 years, J.P. Morgan Chase has paid out $36 billion in penalties, fines, and settlements for having violated the law, defrauded veterans, defrauded homeowners, defrauded credit card holders. There's no group of customers that they won't defraud for a profit. And then the $36 billion just represents a small portion of the profits they made from their illegal activities, and they move on to the next criminal violation.
Now, I'm looking at this, and it says, you know, the settlements on these criminal violations of the antitrust laws by five major banks, and, you know, this mafia style. How is it set up as the mafia? I mean, you know, in the mafia, you got your Don, and you got your capos, and your lieutenants, and your soldiers. I mean, is it kind of like that?
Well, I think the buck stops at J.P. Morgan Chase with Jamie Dimon and the board of directors. You know, just think about it. If you or I had a company where we had an employee who defrauded a customer, what would we do? We would fire the person and sue to recover what that person stole. We would never keep the person employed. And yet J.P. Morgan Chase, when someone is found to have knowingly violated the antitrust laws by forming an illegal cartel to fix a price which victimizes consumers all over the world, that person doesn't get fired at J.P. Morgan Chase. He doesn't have to disgorge his bonuses. He's just put in charge of another criminal enterprise.
Well, I went through your quiz, and by the way, I did get 100% and I passed.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It wasn't that hard considering the source material. But what you're just talking about, the first question is, if you're the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase and have to accept a deferred prosecution agreement on a two-count felony information filed by the U.S. Department of Justice because on your watch, J.P. Morgan let the biggest financial fraudster in the history of the country steal billions of dollars from its customers, do you go, you know, number one, get fired, two, go to jail, three, get fired and go to jail, or four, get a 74% raise? Bingo. I mean, you get a 74% raise. Yeah. I mean, how does a legitimate company do that. I mean, it doesn't, because they're not legitimate. They're a criminal organization.
That's exactly right. It's inconceivable that anyone sitting on that board who had any integrity would not want every single person who committed a crime to be thrown out of the bank, forced to disgorge bonuses, and made an example of.
Yeah, I mean, and I go to the next question because it feathers right into that. In order to qualify to be a member of the board of directors for J.P. Morgan Chase, you have to have had a distinguished career in business, established a reputation for honesty and integrity, served the public interest in a significant way, been chosen for the leadership of and corporate accountability course at Harvard Business School as an example of unethical leadership in business, and that would be number four. Submit the answer. That's from an article in the Huffington Post.
I would throw Yale and Stanford into that mix too, looking at some of these guys.
I'm telling you. Now, tell us a little bit about your background and your involvement in the cases against this as an attorney. And, you know, so you've got inside track. You're not just shooting from the hip as another person just writing a story. You know this stuff because you were there and you lived it.
Well, the way I was led into this was that I had become active as a spokesperson for the Madoff victims, and I was walking down Lexington Avenue one day late in 2009, and my cell phone rang, and I said hello, and the voice said, "Helen, this is Ruth Madoff," and I had never spoken to Ruth or had any contact with her, and I said, "Hello, Ruth, how are you?" And she said, "I'm fine. Bernie wants to speak to you." And Bernie Madoff at that point was in the Butler Federal Penitentiary in North Carolina. And I said, "Well, how do we arrange that?" And she said, "Well, if you give me a landline, he'll call you tomorrow, collect, at 10 o'clock. And so that was the first of a large number of phone calls that I had with Bernie Madoff over the last 6 years. And one of the first things he said to me was, "J.P. Morgan Chase knew all along what I was doing." And when he first said it, I thought, oh, that's impossible. It could never have happened. But he was 100% accurate about it. And when you think about it, if you have a bank account and you put all of your income into that bank account and you disperse all of your income from that bank account, that bank has a glass-bottom-bow view of your entire financial life. And that's exactly what J.P. Morgan Chase had of Madoff. So then the next question is, okay, but it's a big bank. I mean, they can't be nosing around in everyone's bank account. Well, interestingly enough, they are required by law to nose around in everyone's bank account, because in 1970, Congress enacted a statute called the Bank Secrecy Act in recognition of the fact that if the government wanted to prevent financial crime, it needed the assistance of financial institutions, because they would know when a financial crime was being committed. And so under the Bank Secrecy Act, banks have an affirmative obligation punishable by a criminal felony if they don't perform. They have to monitor customers' accounts. They have to understand the customer's business, monitor the cash flow, and if they see that the cash flow is inconsistent with the business, they have an obligation to report it to the federal government. And, of course, if they see that the customer is committing a crime, they have to close down the account. They can't aid and abet a crime when they know it's going on.
Well, a lot of people might be familiar with some of these, some of the statute of that law, and that would be, you know, where if you deposit over $10,000 or you structure, you know, deposits to equal less than the $10,000 over a period of time so that you're not depositing the $10,000, it's going to be reported to the IRS. I mean, a lot of people are familiar with that law, but it looks like, you know, with that kind of thinking, you know, what they're really going after is us ma and pa, because, I mean, if they're looking at, you know, the business, as you say, and the normalcy of it and how they're making deposits, these guys are up in a whole different league, aren't they?
Well, exactly. Now, what happened with Madoff was that in the early 1990s, he was thrown out of Bankers Trust Company because he was doing illegal transactions, and they called him in and said, "Look, please give us an explanation for these transactions. We're concerned that they're not legal." And Madoff didn't have a satisfactory answer. And they said, "Thank you very much. We're closing your accounts." And they reported the activity to the federal government. Madoff goes across the street to what was then Chemical Bank and was merged into J.P. Morgan Chase, does exactly the same thing. The bank recognizes it. They write internal memos about it. And their only concern was that they wouldn't lose money on the transaction.
Wow.
They knew he was an investment advisor. They saw that he never purchased any securities. Just in the period from 2003 to 2007, Madoff kept on deposit at J.P. Morgan Chase in New York $3 to $6 billion.
Wow,
and
that's
the bank.
I was going to say it sounds like a marriage made in heaven between Madoff and Diamond, but I guess nobody knew that they eloped in Vegas.
Well, they eloped in London because that's when Diamond came over to J.P. Morgan Chase in the summer of 2004. You can be sure he was told, boy, we have this New York customer who keeps $3 to $6 billion on deposit in the bank. And, of course, this was before the Fed started pouring money out the window for the banks at no interest. So, you know, if the bank had the right, which it did, to use customer deposits, this was a huge, huge benefit for J.P. Morgan Chase. And, of course, one of the first things Jamie Dimon did was set up the chief investment office in London and hire a bunch of very aggressive young traders who were authorized to speculate with depositors' funds.
Is this where the London Well occurred?
Exactly.
And what could explain that transaction for the listeners? I don't think a lot of people really know about the London Well. It's been going on for quite some time since it happened, but most people don't understand exactly what happened.
Sure. Well, because the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which is essentially the taxpayers, insures deposits in banks, the banks are not permitted to gamble with depositors' money. They have to invest it very, very conservatively. They have the right to invest it, but they must invest it very conservatively. Well, that didn't constrain Jamie Dimon. He set up this chief investment office in London, hired these very, very aggressive young traders, and they were making a lot of money for the bank gambling with this money. Now, by 2012, they had made a bad bet, which ultimately led to a loss in excess of $6 billion from the chief investment office. And Jamie Dimon was dishonestly representing to the public that this was just a tempest in a teapot, it wasn't a significant loss, and then, of course, a few months later, it came out that not only was it in excess of $6 billion, but he knew at the time he used the tempest in the teapot remark that he knew that it was in the billions of dollars. And, in fact, the Senate Subcommittee on Investigations did an investigation of this incident and found that Jamie Dimon had violated the securities laws by making misstatements.
Well, say it isn't so.
But of course, he got a raise.
Say it isn't so. Not Mr. Dimon. Are you kidding? I mean, and these guys are gambling everybody else's money on the worldwide derivative market stage. But that kind of takes me to, your third question. If Jamie Dimon tells his shareholders that J.P. Morgan Chase had almost nothing to do with Bernie Madoff, does J.P. Morgan Chase, not pay a dime in settlement claims relating to the relationship with Madoff? Does J.P. Morgan Chase, would they fight for any such claims in court for years to prove it's innocent? Would Jamie Dimon eat his hat, or would J.P. Morgan Chase's shareholders pay a $3 billion settlement in criminal and civil charges arising from its relationship with Madoff?
Right.
I got that one right again too. These guys. I mean, yeah, that's your website going off the jackpot, donkey. But, it's incredible. These guys, they deny everything. They say that, they tell the shareholders it had nothing to do with it. In the meantime, what you're telling me is that they knew exactly what was going on, and it's documented.
It is. It is. It's completely documented.
Wow. Unbelievable. With that, let's go to a short break here and come back and regroup here and keep going with this, because it ends up where we're going is that these guys are also, dictating policy to our government officials so that none of this does happen. They're all, everything's rigged.
And with that, we're going to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
If there's one thing in it's missing. It's the time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool and bright clear water. Lots of those friendly people are showing me ways to go, but I never want to lose their inspiration. Time for cool change. I know that it's time for a cool change. And now that my life so prearranged, I know that it's time for a cool change. Well, I was born in the sign of water, and it's there that I feel my best. The albatross and the whales, they are my brothers. Kind of a special feeling when you're out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Hello, Christopher Fleischman with Simple Solutions. You know, over the past few years, appliance diagnosis and repair has become more and more technical, while factory field training has become less and less available. Considering the sophistication built into appliances these days, it takes a knowledgeable and skilled technician to make repairs in the most cost-effective manner. Although virtually all of the experienced local technicians have taken advantage of the factory training over the years, I am the only local technician I'm aware of with a degree in electronics technology. Considering that electronics are being used more and more in appliances, my special knowledge can be a real advantage to my customers, and my EPA refrigerant certification allows me to repair virtually any refrigeration sealed system. For service, contact me at simplesolutions911@gmail.com. Give brand, model number, your contact number, and appliance problem. I will quickly respond by phone. Higher qualifications and lower prices. With Simple Solutions, you have an alternative.
Do you have an aging parent who needs extra help at home? Do you have concerns about your family member driving, remembering to take medications, or eating a healthy meal? Hi, my name is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Our compassionate caregivers work in clients' homes and can help with light housekeeping, meal planning, med reminders, hygiene assistance, and much more. All staff is background checked, bonded, and insured. To make a difference in your loved one's life, call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or online at readinghomehelpers.com. When family can't do it all, your Home Helpers family can.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, Linda and I welcome Rhonda Paul and James Masada as we talk about Enjoy the Magazine, Enjoy the Store, what's happening in Northern California this month. Also, more on the politics, more on the election, and again, urging everyone to go out and vote on Tuesday in the primaries. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
The Ball!
just below the stairs. What you got?
That the truth.
Yeah, who thought we'd be here where we are now?
Strange days indeed. Wow.
And that we were talking about what we're talking about with Ellen. I mean, it's like, and we're getting this information.
Well, and you know, the thing is, how is this important in the grand scheme of things is the real question. Okay, so we've got some criminal bankers, and they're running a worldwide cartel, and they are laundering money for drug cartels and Middle Eastern countries, and so they're getting rich on the back of the taxpayer, and they're controlling our government through bribes and corruption and coercion, and nobody gets prosecuted and go to jail. Is there a problem here, or am I missing something, Helen?
Well, you know, this is something that Bernie Sanders has been focusing on, and unfortunately, neither Trump nor Hillary Clinton is really focusing on this issue. And I think that if either Trump or Hillary becomes president, we're going to have more of the same.
I don't know. I think you're going to see a change in Trump when he gets there. I think Bernie's right on this issue. I just think his remedy is wrong. I mean, giving more power to the government is the problem.
Right.
I have a question for you, Helen. Do you think that they're going to prosecute Hillary?
Obama has. It's interesting because when you talk about the government, even though Obama was frustrated by his inability to get certain legislation through Congress, he alone exercised the executive powers of the president. And those powers are enormous. Those are the powers that resulted in no criminal banker going to jail. So without the help of Congress, President Obama was able to allow this contagion of crime to continue and expand. And I'm not blaming this just on the Democrats, because if there had been a Republican president, it would have been the same, or possibly even worse, because the Republicans are very protective of the financial institutions.
Oh, absolutely in agreement. Yes. I think the Republicans and the Democrats at the higher level of this establishment are all on the same side. It's just a big, you know, diversion, this supposed fight between them, because they always get together on the big issues, you know, whether it's protecting the bankers or passing stuff for Monsanto or whatever it is. You know, all of a sudden the party lines, you know, disappear, and these guys all get together like one big happy family. So this is the Republicans and the Democrats. They both are to blame.
You're right. And the problem is that if you look at my Wheel of Misfortune, you see that the victims, the people who have made the banks rich, are the average, honest, hardworking American. That's the problem. It's not that they're getting rich by stealing money from honest, hardworking people.
For example, like the scandal with the mortgage-backed securities and the derivatives markets and, you know, the subprime loans back in 08, which are all fixed, right? It's all better now because they came in and passed Dodd-Frank, and now it's all good, right?
No, not exactly. You know, there's an interesting example in my book which impacts your listeners. A couple of years ago, J.P. Morgan Chase interviewed a young man who wanted to work for the bank. And he said that he had worked for whatever that utility company is in California that handles the electric power. He worked for that company, and he figured out that the formula by which that utility company fixed the price of electricity had a glitch in it. And he told the people that he interviewed with at J.P. Morgan Chase that he could finagle that system and that they could make a lot of money by manipulating the electric rates in California, it would result in overcharging the consumers, but it would make the bank a lot of money. Now, if you or I interviewed someone like that, we would be in 2 seconds, we would be showing him the door. Not J.P. Morgan Chase. They set him up with a whole staff, and within 6 months, they were predicting that they would make more than $1 billion in profit by cheating California utility customers.
Hey, forget about it. I mean,
what difference does it make?
It's unbelievable. The more that this thing, you know, that's why they call Goldman Sachs the squid. I mean, because their arms reach into everything. You know, I mean, J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs are like two of the same. I mean, they cross lines on a lot of things. So now you're telling me that they're rigging the prices for the utilities in California?
Yes. Well, now they've sanctioned J.P. Morgan Chase on that. They got caught on that. So they've moved on to something else. We'll find out in a few years whom they've cheated now.
Wow. It's just, you know, I mean, what can we do to stop these guys? I mean, that's the real deal here. How do we stop these guys? I know you have a list of things that we can do. And I, again, suggest everybody go to your website at jpmadoff.com and, you know, click on the documents to start there. And then I'm looking for what you can do here on the website. Let me find
out. Well, the most important thing you can do is exercise your vote. And you have to exercise your vote to elect people of integrity who are not going to be subjected to being bribed by the major corporations in this country who are running the country for their own enrichment and to the devastation of the average person.
Wow. Wow. So we need to, how do we do that? I guess that's the question. I mean, and how do we know? Because we're not getting the truth from any of the media outlets. They don't even report any of this stuff anymore. I mean, and you look at what's going on with Trump and Sanders. I mean, I'm almost of the feeling that they should team up at some point and run together on the same ticket. Just because I think that they both have their things that are right about what's going on, but who's going to stop it? I mean, where's the truth? Where's the media reporting on any of it?
Well, you know, that's a major problem because it's interesting. None of the major media will cover the real story about J.P. Morgan Chase. And even when, for example, all the major financial institutions plead guilty to committing a felony violation of the antitrust laws by fixing, for example, the foreign exchange rate, which impacts every consumer because you import goods, you buy imported goods, you travel, whatever.
You're talking about LIBOR.
No, not just LIBOR, the foreign exchange rates. In other words, they have emails where someone from Goldman Sachs says, I'm going to fix the price of the yen against the dollar at 6 p.m. today at X. And then someone else says, boy, isn't it fun being part of a cartel?
Wow.
So they take this. They take positions in the currencies after they know they're fixing the rates at a certain amount. So the thing is that the impact of this is so vast that it's consumed the entire world economy.
Helen, we do have a caller on the line that would like to ask you a question. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Yes, I got a question and a comment. Very interesting program. My question to your guest is, as her information, is there any way that it can get to some lawyers and any litigation take place? This is absolutely highway robbery, as everybody knows. And then my comment is to answer Mark's question, how do we stop it? That was at the Trump rally Friday. And that is the answer. This man will solve these problems. He knows all the crooks, and he knows how to deal with these people. And, again, for him to come to Redding, California, it was absolutely incredible. And talk about a great group of people, all patriots. And there is no question that this man will be the best president America has ever had. I'll take my answer off here.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Billy Bob.
Well, Helen?
Well, to answer the question, you know, over the last 20 years, Congress has enacted a number of statutes which protect large corporations that commit crimes. And as a result, the courts have come down very hard when individuals try to vindicate their rights against large corporations. It's very, very difficult to survive in court. So the courts have no longer been in a position where they protect the individual against a corporate criminal.
Wow. I was trying to find on your website, is it under documents or whatever, that shows the different things about how to boycott J.P. Morgan and I think there was a list of things you can do. I can't seem to find it.
Yeah, well, one of the things you could do is write to your congressman. Unfortunately, you know, that's not as persuasive as it might be, because it's only going to be persuasive if you send in a lot of money with your letter.
yeah, that'd be our guy, too.
Right. I mean, we really have a ka-ching Congress. You know, nobody has to take time to study a bill, because it's just a question of weighing the money on one side or the other. And usually, if it's an important issue, there's no contest as to who's got the most money, and people just vote for what they're paid to vote for.
Well, our congressman's a good example. You know, he overwhelmingly heard from his constituency about voting against the Monsanto bill that was going to stop labeling our food from other countries and not require them to label our food. And he even admitted to a payoff from them. And he said that because it was in installments that, you know, that wasn't a problem. And that's what we're dealing with. I mean, we've got to get guys in there who are going to support and defend the Constitution, you know, and it's starting to mesh out because the Internet's changing the game. But, yeah, it's a real problem right now. And we're seeing the world financial market starting to blow up because of all this rigging. I mean, I don't know. I did find your things to do on why we started this website. But what do you think about the world market at this point? Do you think we're in for a catastrophe of biblical proportions, or is this going to be a blip on the screen?
I think we're heading towards a crisis, because we can't sustain ourselves. You know, the concentration of wealth in 0.1% of the American population cannot be sustained. Because not only it's not simply that people have become so overwhelmingly greedy. I mean, really, if you have $1 billion, do you really need more than that? I mean, what can you do with $2 billion that you can't do with $1 billion, or with $500 million, or with $300 million?
See,
but
my,
you have people.
I was just going to say, my position is this: is that as long as the playing field is level, then we should be able to rise to whatever we're able to attain. But the playing field is not level, because when you get up to that point of income, right now what happens is, because J.P. Morgan is working in conjunction with the Federal Reserve and they're printing and counterfeiting money, the playing field is no longer level at all. You know, so we should be rewarded for our efforts, but these guys are not being rewarded for their efforts. They're being rewarded because they're criminals, and that's the problem, I think.
Well, I think, you know, what the Federal Reserve has done, and this, they operate beyond the law. They've been printing money, which devalues the currency for those of us who work for a living, and they're pouring money into the banks, and the banks
right.
aren't doing anything that's helping the economy. They're just enriching themselves with it.
Absolutely, and it's so skewed the marketplace, and has so skewed the world economy, we no longer have any price discovery, and we wonder why all of our manufacturing is getting offshored, and we wonder why all of the banks control the media through the and control our government agencies through their graft and corruption. I mean, Monsanto's a good example. You just pay the guy off, and they pass the bills that they want to support. Support their activities, and so it's crazy. But you've got to stop the Federal Reserve, and you've got to stop this criminal banking. And like you say, I think we're in for a collapse worldwide.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And I think that the popularity of both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders is the result of people recognizing that something is terribly, terribly wrong in this country.
I totally agree. I mean, whether my only problem with Bernie is I think his solution is wrong. I'm not sure about Donald Trump, and there's a lot of things that are not going to become clear until he, you know, there's actually with either one of them until they become president, because campaigns are campaigns. I trust Trump a little more because I know a little bit more about his background and the books he's written and so forth. So, but it's still a crapshoot no matter what you at either one. But we don't have a lot of choice here. You know, right now the choice is Hillary for prison, Bernie or Donald, and so I have to go with on the Donald side of things because Bernie's an avowed communist as far as I know, and so that's a problem too. And that redistribution of the wealth thing, we've been getting that for quite some time. So what do we do? You know, I don't think we have a choice at this point.
Yeah, it's a real crisis in American history.
I agree. So we'll just have to move on and you know, look at the real criminals is what we have to do. No matter where your political persuasion is, we have to be educated on who is really the problem. The real problem is the money changers, you know. I mean, I like to tell people who have, if you got a religious slant on this thing, and not that I'm going religious here, but, you know, the only time that Jesus Christ ever became angry in the Bible was when he drove the money changers out of the temple with the cat of nine tails. And for me, that's like, you know, whether you believe in that or not, as far as a religious aspect, I mean, it's very telling that that was a huge problem even back then. Silence.
Yep. That's interesting. No, it's interesting. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, well, anyway, let's talk about what we can do. We got about 15 minutes here, and
yeah, and your things to do list. You said like boycott J.P. Morgan, and my question with that is that they are on everything. I mean, everything almost that we do in our lives, even taxes and everything, go through J.P. Morgan.
I know they do the EBT cards.
It's like wow.
The graft is unbelievable. So
yeah.
How do we boycott them? Yeah.
Well, first of all, I would not put my money in any of the major criminal banks because they will figure out ways to cheat you. I think you have to look for a bank that's a community bank where you know the people who are running it, and I would hedge my bets by not putting all of my money in one bank.
I
definitely would stay away from the major banks because I think they're all very dishonest.
Well, I think we're going to see a bank holiday, too, because the real deal is I believe they're insolvent because they've been cooking the books, you know, and they've been playing in the worldwide casino derivatives market, and I think that they can virtually do at this point anything they want on their accounting and their balance sheets, and there's no oversight. I mean, if you're going to get away with a crime time after time after time, it kind of emboldens you to the point where you don't really give a crap who's writing the laws.
Well, that's right. I mean, not only do they buy the laws they want, they also control the regulators. So
yeah,
there's no constraint on their conduct.
Absolutely. Well, there was that one attorney that was over in Goldman Sachs. I'm trying to think of her name. Who went over there, and they were supposed to be doing oversight for Goldman Sachs. They even had an office over in the building at Goldman Sachs. And what she discovered was it was exactly the opposite. Goldman Sachs was telling all the oversight guys what to do.
Exactly, at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, exactly.
Yeah.
These are the people who are supposed to be protecting the public, and Goldman Sachs is telling them what to do.
Yeah, it's so everybody get your money out of the big banks. I think we're going to see a banking holiday at some point, in my opinion, to where there's going to be a freezing of the accounts. And, you know, it's not like it hasn't happened in Greece or Cyprus or, you know, I mean, look at Venezuela model right now. And that's, they got a 2,000% inflation rate was the last thing I heard. So, people, we need to be aware of this stuff because it's gotten to the point of the proportions of this thing are so epic and large and Armageddon-ish that, you know, if you're trusting your money in these banking institutions, I think you're completely misguided and crazy.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
The other thing
that people can do is try to elect officials who, vote for legislation not based on how much they're paid to vote for it. Because obviously the moneyed interest in this country are so wealthy that they can completely write all the legislation.
That's
and that's
true.
What's been happening.
Yep.
That's the one of the things that I really like about what you said in your list of things to do is, you know, tell your political representatives that you're tired of this crap with Wall Street. Yeah, tell your congressman, your governor, your senators, you know, they need to know how we feel. And until enough of the public rises up against this, they're just going to continue to be doing business as usual.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the one thing is that the people in Congress want to stay there. It's interesting because I was lobbying on behalf of Madoff victims, and I met with 67 different senators and representatives. And before I had each meeting, I reviewed the biographical information about the person I was going to meet with. And one of the things I looked at was the financial statement of the person when he was elected and the current financial statement of that person. And remarkably, people who were elected to Congress, were in the House of Representatives, they came in and they had maybe a net worth of $100,000, and lo and behold, 10 years later, they were multimillionaires.
Amazing.
Yeah,
gee, how that works.
Gee, how do you, yeah, you just go to Congress and,
yeah,
and become
rich.
Yeah, that's a level playing field, isn't
yeah.
it?
They yeah. really care about the little guy.
Exactly.
Another
exactly.
thing here, too, is that make sure your pension funds are not at J.P. Morgan Chase. And I think that's I think we're going to see a pension problem of epic proportions here anyway. You know, when you look at CalPERS, and we've done a lot of investigative reporting on CalPERS, Red Smith taking the lead on that, and what's going on in Puerto Rico with the bond defaults, and I think you're going to see more and more bond defaults across the board and sovereign debt defaults, and that's going to be a real problem for the pension funds. My advice to people is get them out of there and put them in a precious metal fund of some sort if you are afraid of paying the penalties on the withdrawals, but at least move them out of these major banks and put them someplace where they're going to be a little safer.
I agree with you. Why do the banks manage these accounts? Because they can take so much money out for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, they follow the money, you know. I mean, the love of money is the root of all evil, as the saying goes, and it's really true. So who do you think's running the big show? Do you think it's Jamie Dimon, or what happened to Louis, what's his name, Feinstein, he was the head of Goldman Sachs last time I checked, but, you know, or do you think this goes all the way to the English monarchy of the Rothschilds?
Well, I don't think it goes to the Rothschilds, but I mean, Jamie Dimon is chairman of the board and president of J.P. Morgan Chase. With 240,000 employees, there was no one who could take one of those jobs. He had to take both of them.
Wow. So maybe one of your suggestions here is to write J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon and a letter and tell him how you feel. Pretty sure he doesn't really care how we feel, but maybe
exactly.
if enough letters hit there, maybe he'll start to get a little bit more tentative because of the public rise of anger that's starting to swell.
Well, you know, one thing that's very funny is a couple of people have said to me that it's outrageous that $36 billion, which could have been paid to the shareholders, was instead used to pay these fines. What that overlooks, of course, is the fact that the profits that that J.P. Morgan Chase has shown, certainly over the last 5 years, are the results of criminal conduct. And only a small portion of it was paid to the government or the victims. Most of it was paid to the shareholders or to the officers.
Wow.
How interesting is that?
Yeah, gee, I mean, I'm completely shocked at this point. I'm not sure what to say.
Well, we're coming down to the hour that we have with you this morning, Helen. Where can they go to get your book and give them again your website and contact information, if you would, please?
Sure. jpmadoff.com is my website, and you can easily buy the book, or you can go right on amazon.com and buy it.
So,
and if you're an Amazon Prime member, the Kindle version is free.
So we've got just a couple of minutes left. Have you got anything that you want to say to get out there that we haven't covered already? Because I know sometimes I might be a little bit leading in the questioning of these interviews. I try not to let my personal animosity towards these institutions get in the way of actual reporting. So maybe you can have a little clearer thought pattern than I have at this point, because right now I want to throw my computer through the window.
you know, no, you've been terrific. Look, the thing is that I think that a lot of people have the attitude that financial issues are so complicated they have to leave them to the experts. And that's an invitation to be victimized. And I think that every one of us has to take responsibility for the financial decisions we make. As you said, you know, the major banks could, they probably are insolvent, and they could easily default, which means that depositors couldn't get their money out.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, this is, and that hits every one of us. Yeah. So every one of us has to take responsibility for dealing with a criminalized institution. You're much better off with a small bank where you know the people and you have confidence that they're decent, honest, hardworking people. We have overwhelming evidence that the major financial institutions are criminalized.
Boy, I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you, a very wise man told me once, your best investment counselor that you'll ever get is yourself. Because
exactly.
You have your own best interest in mind, and you got to understand the people that are passing out consulting and advice and financial information typically are getting paid, you know, to sell you certain things, whether it's stocks or bonds or whatever it happens to be, and not necessarily being paid just for the consultation itself. So, you know, choose your investment counselors wisely, and I would say that probably yourself is going to be the one that has to do that. And that takes homework, and you have to do your studies.
Well, most of them are salesmen, like you say.
Right.
Yeah. They don't have your best interest at heart to take care of you.
And
they want to get fat off.
Well, and these days we're getting pounded with so much information that it's staggering. It takes the energy right out of your sales because... I mean, gosh, we've got so much to do as it is because of all the government regulations, our money being divided, and so forth. It's just that one extra stick on the camel's back. So all I can say is you got to do the best thing you can. Anyway, it has been a great interview, Helen.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you coming on
the show. Well, thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking with you.
Absolutely.
All right. And we'll have you back in the future and go over some more of this. I'm sure you'll be uncovering other things as the time goes on, unfortunately, good or bad.
I'm pretty sure we don't agree on everything, but I'm also pretty sure we agree on the big stuff.
We agree on the big stuff. That we do.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you again, and we'll be talking to you soon. Take care.
Right. Thanks, Helen.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was I think this woman really knows what she's talking about, being on the inside and being the attorney on these people, you know, for the people that got ripped off by Bernie Madoff. And why does the media never make the connections to the big banks here?
Well, that's where they get their paycheck.
Well, exactly.
You know?
So.
Unfortunately, that's the way most everything's run these days is through them.
Well, with that said, I've got a couple headlines. We got a couple minutes to the top of the hour. Here's the first headline story. Slavery is running rampant worldwide. Who would have thought? We've got over 45 million people live in conditions comparable to farm animals and cannot leave. Statistics show that the number of humans in this condition has increased 30% in the past year. But much of this is because the statistics merely are becoming more accurate than in the past. India has 18.35 million slaves, followed by China, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Uzbekistan. This comes from CNN in a May report, May 31st, 2016. Wow.
But seeing more people out on the street, that has nothing to do with it here in America either, right?
Yeah.
Because
slavery is... You know, means that you have to be in the field getting whipped, doesn't it?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The population out there is growing daily, right here in our own country.
Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of slavery. There's mental slavery. There's sexual slavery.
Financial slavery.
Food slavery.
Yeah, I mean,
the list goes on.
Yeah. And,
I believe we refer to those as entitlements in this country.
I'll tell you what. I see these guys selling free cell phones out there in Shasta Lake City, and I'm thinking as I go by, don't you get it? Nothing's free.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see them all the time walking on the street. They all got a cell phone.
You mean there's strings attached to that?
Yeah, let's just, we got to take from the haves and give to the have-nots. That way everybody will be equal, right?
No.
That's only if you do Common Core math, right?
I don't think it works that way, but according to Common Core, what I learned in economics in high school is no longer valid. Apparently the laws of economics no longer exist. They've evaporated into the ether.
They're outdated.
In another unrelated story, I think we got about a minute left here in this New York
Post.
Nope,
we're at the top of the hour.
How corporate America bought Hillary Clinton for $21 million. Maybe we'll
that wouldn't happen. Please stay tuned to our third hour of Sovereign Minds.
We have Gary Cadd coming.
We have Gary Cadd and more action coming your way. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
More Sovereign Minds straight ahead on KCNR's Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton trading barbs on the morning news talk programs today. The leader in the Democratic presidential race says Trump is not fit to occupy the White House.
He doesn't really have ideas. He makes bizarre rants and engages in personal feuds and outright lies.
Trump, the presumptive GOP nominee, hit back at Clinton's email scandal.
She's guilty of the server. She is guilty of, you look at confidential information. I mean, all of the information that probably has gotten out all over the world. And then, you know what? She's also guilty of stupidity.
He spoke to CBS TV. She was on ABC. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says a storm system developing over the Caribbean Sea has a good chance of forming into a tropical storm, and even if it does not, it will bring heavy rains to the Gulf Coast. Forecasters say up to 10 inches of rain could fall in parts of Florida later today and tomorrow. Meanwhile, on the East Coast, 17 million people are in the face of severe weather, including tornadoes, that could begin this afternoon. Federal regulators are proposing a significant clampdown on payday lenders and other providers of high-interest loans.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's proposed regulations seek to address two common complaints about the industry. The CFPB is proposing that lenders must conduct what's known as a full payment test, because most payday loans are required to be paid in full when they come due, usually 2 weeks after the money is borrowed. The CFPB wants lenders to prove that borrowers are able to repay that money without having to renew the loan repeatedly. In addition, the CFPB would require additional warnings and restrict the number of times payday lenders can attempt to debit a borrower's bank account. Jeremy House reporting.
Tennessee authorities say a suspect is in custody after the death of a police officer in a shooting in downtown Memphis last night. The officer struck by a car when the suspect fled. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
Violent crimes ranging from homicides to rapes to robberies have been on the rise in many major U.S. cities so far this year. But experts can't point to a single reason why, and the jump isn't enough to suggest there's a trend. Law enforcement officials are seeking a way to combat the problem. Americans have grown accustomed to low crime rates since a peak in the 1990s, but lawmen started seeing a spike last year that has continued unabated. The 29-year-old Serb has won a French Open tennis title today, beating Andy Murray in four sets, Novak Djokovic becoming the first man in nearly a half century to win four consecutive major tennis championships, although not in the same year, and therefore not exactly the Grand Slam. The last man to hold all four majors simultaneously was Rod Laver, who did win the Grand Slam back in 1969. Djokovic can now set his sights on that ultimate tennis achievement because he's halfway there. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Clif Bar is recalling three of its products over listeria concerns.
The decision to pull the bars comes after the California-based company learned some sunflower kernels could contain the bacteria. The recall includes nuts and seeds bars with best-by dates starting June 8, 2016 and ending January 21, 2017, trail mix bars with best-by dates starting June 5 and ending March 24, and Mojo Mountain mix bars with best-by dates starting June 16 and ending February 2. The company is urging people who already bought affected bars not to eat them and to destroy them. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, June the 5th, and it's a birthday for a number of notable people, including journalist Bill Moyers. He is 82 years old today. Jazz musician Kenny G turns 60. Actor Mark Wahlberg has 45 candles on his cake. Popular financial guru Susie Orman is 65. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouth.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Sovereign Mind Radio. It's the third hour, and I'll tell you what, it's been a fast-paced show with lots of action.
I told you it was going to be fast-moving.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. There's no shade developing under our chairs, or is there? I'm not sure.
Some of us cast larger shadows.
I was going to say, that all depends on which shadows we're speaking of.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one there. Hey, we want to say hello to Terry and Sally up there at the air show if they're listening today. We're trying to cover all of the stuff that needs to be covered down here in the valley. Hope you're having a good time.
Hopefully they're not catching it too bad from the weather yet.
Maybe not. I hope. Yeah. Do we have any veterans events, sis, that we should cover before?
You kind of caught me off guard. I got to stop and think. We do have Camp for Life coming up at the end of August with Missing in America Project. We do that every year out at Whiskey Town, Camp Need. That is where we have people come out, kids and the families of the children that are terminally ill, and we let them come to camp for a week, and they can do whatever they want, eat whatever they want, and have a good time.
All righty.
And there's just a little bit over a month left to buy your tickets for the gun raffle for the radio shows for Jefferson State of Mind and Sovereign Mind.
To keep us on the air if you guys like what you hear every Sunday.
Yeah, and you have a chance. Only takes three tickets, and you can win all three guns.
And yeah, how do they get a ticket?
They can give us a call at 221-0101 or at the Patriot. The meeting's on Monday night, or just catch up with us, and we'll make sure that you get your tickets. The drawing will be July 11th. And the tickets are starting to go pretty fast, so you need to get in there. And it's such a good deal. For $200, you get 30 tickets.
Yeah, instead of buying a couple tickets yourself, get together a group of people, get that discount rate, get extra tickets. We're giving away an AR-15, a Ruger 270, mm-hmm. Benelli tactical shotgun. You know, it's pick of the litter.
Yep.
Whoever draws the first ticket gets the first choice.
And if you don't like those, I mean, you know, we're going through Jones Fork. He'll always let you
trade them out
to something else that you may want.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Keep us on the air if you like what you hear, because, we report the stuff nobody else wants to touch.
Yeah, and at this point, you might want to get sure that you get something with a detachable magazine before it's banned.
Yeah, we don't get paid to do this. We actually have to pay.
Or maybe he'll let you take it out in ammo before you have to have a background check and a permit.
Well, that leads right into the quote of the day in regards to the Second Amendment. Laws that forbid the carrying of arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man. Thomas Jefferson.
Gun law is a good law.
No, I got a necklace on order that just says gun-free zone, so they can't hurt me.
Does it have a target behind it?
It's gold with diamonds. You know, that way nobody will use a gun to rob me for it.
Yeah, all right. Go down to Oakland and have $20 bills hanging out of your pockets and, you know, walk down some of those, seedy spots and see how well you do.
So you're trying to get rid of me.
So.
Well, from what I hear in Oakland, just to get pizza, you know, the guy sits behind the glass in Oakland now. You can't, in the pizza parlors, you know, you have to.
How bad is that?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, really?
You've got to be afraid for your life if you're delivering Domino's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay, 30 seconds or 30 minutes or less.
it better be here.
It better be there. You're dead. You're dead, I tell you. No.
A drive-by. Throwing the pizza out like you used to do newspapers. There you go.
It's a pizza drive-by.
It's a pizza drive-by.
Yeah, there you have it. Anyway, we have a great guest today. Our special guest, another special guest, I should say, is Gary Cadd, who is on the city council.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, Gary. Right. But anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service, because you might not be a veteran of a foreign war, but you're a veteran of a domestic war at this point.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you what, the politics are ugly these days and getting uglier by the day, it seems like to me. I don't know, it's been a little quiet over there at the city of Reading lately, hasn't it?
I guess not, folks. If you could have seen the look on Gary's face, it was priceless.
I think the look said, "What are you, stupid?"
the thing with it is, this brings up a point. So many people don't go to city council meetings. They are recorded, so you can see them in the pleasure of your home. You can go to they're even set up to the point where you can go to a particular agenda item and click on it, and it'll jump to that agenda, so you don't have to watch the whole thing all at once. But if people would listen to what's going on, and the verbal things that are being said, you would have a real understanding of what's going on with the Reading City Council. And the City Council, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't really do a good job of serving the people. If you want to stand up and say something, and by law, you can stand up and you can rip us to pieces. Gary Cadd this and Gary Cadd that and all you want to do. And we need to sit there and graciously take it. But there's some members that don't have much graciousness in them, I would say, because they don't like it, and they interrupt at times, and then they also make sure that your time is up when your 3 minutes are up. And there are times when you can go over, you can ask questions, although staff doesn't really want us to ask questions.
Yeah, but don't you have to wait till like 11 o'clock at night to say anything?
Well, it depends upon what you don't know what time it's going to be because it's going to be at the end of the meeting. And it used to be at the end of the meeting, then we put it to the start of the meeting, and then some of the members were getting tired of some of the things, upset about some of the things were being said, and then they put it to the end of the meeting. And then after the last election, it was going to be put back. Well, after the election, they decided to leave it at the back of the meeting.
And who was that? Who was that again that did that?
Pardon?
Who did that?
Well, there's some other councilmen. You know, I'm getting to the point. You know, it's a 4-to-1 split on the city council, and I would just soon not mention their other names individually. Just mention it's 4-to-1, and Gary's the conservative.
Pretty
the
much, if you got a brain in your
all
head, you can
above.
Do the math. You can do the math.
Well, yeah, I mean that's why I don't have to name them. You know, you get the drift of what.
Well, I'll happily point out Brent Weaver in his comment that when he has kids that misbehave, they need a timeout in the corner, and basically made the declaration that the citizens of Reading who wanted their concerns heard needed a little timeout.
No Major League Ballpark. Is she still on up there?
Oh, Three Strikes Sullivan. She's still there.
Is she still there? Yeah, I don't want to live in a state where there's no, there's not a major league ball game going on.
You know, and I remember it was this is just a temporary solution, and we'll be returning public comment to the front of the meeting in a short amount of time. This is just a temporary thing, but I guess that must be one of those shallow campaign promises people shouldn't be held to.
So, in other words, just sit down and shut up.
Yeah, schmuck.
I wanted to, if you weren't listening the first hour, we had a question about the sales tax with the city. And we weren't clear, and we had a caller call in, and he was saying that it wasn't fair. He lives in the county. He lives, I believe it was up in Burnie or somewhere, but when they go shopping, they have to come into the city of Reading, and they would have to pay that sales tax, but they have no say.
He was a little more than angry, too.
Yeah.
Well, the thing comes down to it is it's a city half-cent sales tax increase is what the issue is, and it will be on the November ballot. But it's for people that come into the city and purchase items. If he wants to have a vote in it, he needs to go talk to the County Board of Supervisors and have them put a measure on the ballot. And then they would have the right, the county would have the right to vote on it. The thing with it is, with some of the way that it's set up, some of the money that's going to be collected will be going to the county. And for building some new jail cells in the first level, I think it's in the bottom level of the present jail, they're going to take the laundry and the kitchen out and then put 64 beds in there, and then they're planning on when the new courthouse is built, then they will use courtroom 1 and 2. They're going to convert those over into 64 beds and jail space.
So your understanding is that there's not going to be a countywide vote on this measure.
No.
And if people want to have their input, they're going to have this Board of Supervisors put together some kind of measure to get a vote on it?
Yeah, well, the people in the county go talk to the supervisors. The people in the city come talk to us, the city council. So if the county people want to vote on it, then they're going to have the county Board of Supervisors put a measure on the ballot. That's
I have a quick question. If the money is going to be used to establish new beds in the current kitchen and laundry, where are the kitchen and laundry being moved to?
They're going to move them someplace in the city.
And what is going to be the cost of constructing that new infrastructure and the cost of transporting those to the jail?
Well, see, the thing with it is the county isn't giving an accounting of where it's going. I'm just talking about what the city is going to be doing and giving it to the county. That's an issue to go talk to the county about.
Well, and the when we were talking to Bill Chappelle, he said that he didn't trust the city based on their past record of politicking. And, I got to say...
Doing business.
Doing business, thank you. I got to say, I'm with him in that court. I mean, and I'm not, pointing any aspersions at you, Gary, because you've been stellar on your voting. But the rest of them haven't been quite as honest, in my opinion, or forthright, or have the best interest of the public in mind. And
I do not trust this city council, of which I am a member. I do not trust this city council or any future city council, because they more or less follow staff, And if you look at the city councils in the past and our unfunded pensions, which we'll probably get to later, but our unfunded pensions, city councils could have voted differently on those pensions to where we don't have this
shortfall.
Unfunded
liability
falling off a cliff 10,000 feet high.
Well, that brings up another point too. Is in the sales tax, what assurances do the citizens of Redding and Shasta County have that that money simply won't be used to replace budgetary funds from public safety that'll be taken out of the budget to try to cover the CalPERS liability?
Well, in this case, I'm going to mention Mr. Weaver. Mr. Weaver, at the last meeting, wants to put together a committee to oversee. Well, the thing with it is I think it ought to be a private accounting, a private, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, a private group to put it together. And I don't think I don't feel comfortable with the city appointing people to be on a committee to oversee where the money's going to go. It needs to have an audit, and it needs to be an outside audit of where this money. See, we're talking $110 million. They're saying $11 million a year now. That's what they're saying. So it's $110 million over 10 years. This is a couple of dollars. This is big time stuff.
And the money's going to come from where?
From a half cent sales tax increase.
Okay, and do you think that the revenues for sales tax is going up or going down right now?
It's going down.
It's going down. Why do you think that is?
Well, to be truthful, part of it is because the lower gasoline price dropping. That's part of it.
Okay.
But right now, at the last finance report we had, we're $1.9 million behind the budgeted amount. For this year, and it was 1.6 back the first part of March, and in my mind's eye tells me in first part of May it was 1.9. So we're going to hit about $2 million short on the budgeted amount
of the sales tax revenue that's coming in, because the sales tax revenue is shrinking because the economy is shrinking.
Well, people keep telling me the economy is doing really great in Redding, but it sure seems like that you see more drive by and then, well, that business is not there anymore. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know they closed. You know, the economy is not improving, let's put it that way.
So,
Look, Mark, with an economy, even if the economy is staying stagnant, it's staying level.
Right.
If it stays level and from year to year you're level, you are losing. It is dropping. Mm-hmm. So we need increases. And the only two increases we're showing really are from fuel taxes and from the car sales. Those are the two biggest sectors. I mean, my gosh, wouldn't it be something just fantastic if we had $1 million bump in construction? Put a bunch of people to work. Put a bunch of the guys and girls in the city of Redding and put them to work building something.
Whatever happened to Costco?
Well, Costco is still up and down. The rumor on the street, because I am no longer in the know of what goes on with the city, is what's going on there.
So you're on the city council and you're no longer in the know?
Well, back in December, the city manager told me that he gave me a call. I was in Macy's buying my wife a Christmas present, and he gave me a call on my cell phone. And I said, "Oh, Kurt, what's going on?" He said, "Well, Gary," he said, "Redding needs you and I need you." And I said, "What's the subject?" And he said, "Costco, Mr. Levinson." And I said, "Fine." So so we had a conversation. And he wanted me to get a hold of them and have them come up. And so I did, and we had a meeting. And the meeting went rather well, and the city was talking about these 12 issues and, you know, the issues that to get the city and Levinson into an agreement between the city and Levinson. That's the first thing you got to do if you're going to put a development together. The city and the developer come together and they hash out what needs to be done. So we sit down, we talked about them for about an hour. And the following week, the city says, "We really don't want to move forward with this project." And I have an email that was sent out in a letter form. And so the city really doesn't want to. So right now, it's looking as though the Costco would probably be going down to the end of Bocelli Lane, which is Bocelli in Bonneville.
Why by the golf course?
Well, just past the golf course, down at the very end of Bonneville.
There's not. I didn't know there was that much room there.
I was going to say.
Oh, there's probably 15, 16 acres down there, something like this. Mm. But it's been something to mind. First of all,
that
if
would
you
be
go
a traffic at, nightmare.
Well, some of the traffic nightmare right now. See, what brought me into this traffic thing was we had the Penn Air presentation when the first Penn Air flight came in here a month or so ago. So I left my home up on Cumberland Drive, drove down the hill, drove 273, and then went across to the freeway. When I turned to get down on the freeway, I usually kick it up to 60, 65 miles an hour because you're entering traffic.
Sure.
So when I got about halfway down, I'd hit the binders and said, whoa, wait a minute, we got something going on here. Must have been an accident down the road. Well, I found out later that all it was the traffic was enough where it backed up from cutting from the three lanes down
right,
to two lanes.
Right, I know what you're talking about, sure.
Which just somewhere in the Smith overpass there, you know.
Right.
So I started asking folks, said, well, Gary, that happens quite often.
Every
and I
day.
I said, you're kidding me. So that's a backup onto the freeway. Then you've got the normal traffic across South Bonneville. Then you're going to put more traffic onto the Bonneville-Bocelli, plus the fact that there is rumors floating around that some people would like to change Bocelli Lane from a four-lane to a two-lane and make the bike lanes wider. This is something that was just mentioned to me here this last week. And I'm going, you have got to be kidding me.
I got a good idea. Who's that brilliant?
So I'm coming to the point that they're going to have to put an EIR together for that project down there. And I imagine the transportation component of that is probably going to cause some problems. So I'm not sure whether it's going to work or not. And to be quite truthful with you, Costco belongs out at Oasis.
Yeah, there's already been a bunch of money spent out there,
right?
Putting it on the overpasses and the traffic control and so forth.
Mm. And right now they have enough transportation infrastructure out there now that if they wanted to, they could put Costco and Fred Meyer's on the north side, which is the smaller of the two sides, two parts of that development, but put them on the north side. Although Costco doesn't want to be next
Fred
to
now
Meyer's.
I've been told by more than one person, including a property owner that's a private property owner out there still, that Bethel's looking to build a structure out there.
Well, Bethel's going to build over on Collier, you know, off 299 and Collier.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Wow.
They're going to build up on Collier on the north. That's the north side of 299, the frontage road.
They must be doing okay.
There's a road out there called Twin Towers, which in essence is really the extension of Shasta View if it were to go further north, but someday it will. But see, once they put that in, I'm imagining they're going to run that road through and put it out onto Oasis Road. So whether they put in the retail development out on Oasis Road, you're still going to have to do something about the overpass for the pressure. And see, there's also under the EIR that the developer for the Oasis Town project out there, when they put that together, there's been two subdivisions that fit under the EIR that are using the same EIR, and there's two subdivisions gone in out there. One, I think, is Seven Bridges. I'm sorry, folks, I don't remember the name of it, and it's been a while ago. But so there's a lot of development that in the future can. It's already been okay to build out there.
Listen, we have to go to a break.
Okay.
And let's go to the break first, and then you can come back, and you're going to ask the question from the chat room.
Yeah, I'll ask the questions. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North Star.
Thank you. you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
In a white room with black curtains, here's a station. Black room country, no gold payments, tired starlings. Silver horses, brown down moving in your dark.
Yeah, that's some old stuff there.
Yeah,
we pulled that from the archive. A little Cream there. Who's that? Eric Clapton and who else was in there?
Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, and Ginger Baker.
There you go.
All right.
Old stuff. See, Bob would know. Bob know that.
Bob knows that. Okay, so before
so
we
Jimmy.
Went before we went to the break, we said that we had a question in the chat room, and here's the question, Gary. I heard the city of Reading uses satellite picture to see if people have built or put outbuilding porch covers and whatnot on their property.
You know, Linda, I can't answer the question because I haven't checked into to see. It could well be happening. It could very well be happening. But I can tell you, I will go and ask and find the answer. But I hate to say they are because I don't know. I haven't asked.
Hmm. Well, we know that information gets leaked through people having wells put on their property and stuff, which causes the county to go in.
The
and
the sheriff's department can't figure out to use Google Earth to find pot grows.
Well, there
why,
you go.
Why would they figure out how to use Google Earth?
I guess just certain pot grows, though.
Well.
I have no
ding,
knowledge.
Ding, 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 ding.
I have no knowledge of that, Senator.
I don't recall.
The dog ate it.
What? Oh, boy. I think we probably better just step out of that and get into something else.
Why don't we step into unfunded pensions?
There you go.
A couple things to say about them.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a pension crisis coming across the country, if not the world.
It's not coming, Mark. It's here.
It's just a matter of, you know, when are the people who are receiving pensions going to feel the sting of the problem?
Well, the thing that boils down, you look at the state. I don't know what the state's got, probably close to $750 billion in unfunded pensions. And I was down in Sacramento.
So 1.4.
Yeah, last time I checked.
1.4.
Yeah, last time.
Okay,
I checked.
Okay, so 1.4
it's going up,
trillion
exponentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's according to the Stanford report, which was an independent report that audited CalPERS.
Yeah. So you stop and take a look at what's happening. I was down Thursday and Friday. I was down in Sacramento at the League of California Cities policy committees. Now these policy committees, which there are eight of them, we meet basically January, June, and or January, March, and June. In different parts of the state, and they have roughly 80 to 100 individuals from all over the state that are members of these committees, and we have different issues come up, and I'm on the Employee Relations Committee, and then also on the Transportation, Communication, and Public Works Committee, and we have a breakout when all the committee members that are there on whichever day it is, they have a financial budgetary breakout for us. And part of that breakout this time was how much money the state has and how much money the state doesn't have. And then they also mentioned that the CCPOA, which is the California Correction Peace Officers Association, is getting a raise. And it's rather substantial. In 16-17, the raise will be $200 million. And then in 17-18, it will be an additional $300 million. So it will be a total in the next 2 years of $500 million. And these are going to basically the prison guards, if you will, or in the prison area.
I also think they're giving a 4% raise to the people down at the Capitol in Sacramento as well as
the legislators.
Yeah, the legislators.
Yes, that's another. But keep in mind something. It's $500 million. When CalPERS sends a report out, that report is usually sent out in the last quarter of the year, and that report tells the government entity, whether it's the state corrections department, city of Reading, whatever it is, it tells them what percentage of total salary you have to pay to CalPERS. Well, the prison guards are most probably in the neighborhood of around 50%. Now, I think I'm overstating it. I'll admit that right up front. It might be 49.5. Might be just 49. I'm not sure. But to get the ballpark, in the next 2 years, if they're going to get a $500 million increase, that means they're going to have to pay, state's going to have to pay CalPERS $250 million.
The state can't pay.
Well, this is part of the raise. So the raise isn't $500 million. The raise actually is $750 million. Granted, I'm maybe overstating it by a percent. Yeah. But you still get the idea of what I'm talking about. And it really doesn't make any difference because we, the people of the city of Reading, are going to pay our portion of that.
Our unfunded liability exposure is already 60% of California's GDP.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
I'm looking at an article here, and this is from the Liberty Blitzkrieg. And basically it says, on top of all this, not to mention what amounts to investing in criminal schemes, there's a SEC official now claims that over 50% of private equity audits reveal criminal behavior. And that would be CalPERS. So the guys down there that are running the show should be up on charges. They should be in prison. I mean, by all accounts.
You have to, you know, and I don't recall. It seems like there's 9 members on the CalPERS board. And the last that I checked, all 9 of them draw a CalPERS retirement.
Well, there's 8 members now. The head of the board just went to prison for four and a half years.
You are correct.
But he is still drawing his pension.
Well, actually, he's not. Once he goes to prison, he can't draw it, but the money will go into an account, so he'll have it ready for him when he comes out. But he was making, I think he was making $16,000 a month. Now that he's been convicted, that amount will drop down to $11,000, and then they will put the money in an account, and then once he gets out of prison, then that money is made available to him.
Well, and CalPERS posted a return in 2015 of 2.4%.
Oh, can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Mr. Alan Milligan was with us last Friday. I had asked, Alan's retiring in 1st of September, so he and I know each other, and so I asked that the committee that I'm on, if they could have him come in and make a presentation to us last Friday, which he did. It was nice to see him. And he was warning us at the time of what's coming. So I asked him, I said, well, Alan, I said, back in 2011, and I said, granted, I'm not using fiscal years, I'm using just the year, but he said, well, that's fine. He said, I understand. So back in 2011, the rate of return, which it has to be 7.5% or the city coughs up.
Right.
Okay.
That's the target.
So it was one, right around 1%. Then in 12, it actually had a good year. It was about 11.5-12%. Then in 13, it was about 13%. Then in 14, it was 2.4%. And then this year, we have how many days to go? What, about 21 days to go, something like 20-something-odd days?
Yeah.
So they already know what the number is. Now, Alan said, I'm not going to give it to you, but he said in Gary's terms over is what Gary's talking about, it's bad.
Well, that's
so it's probably going to come in around 1 again.
Well, we had a huge problem at the beginning of the year. It was the biggest drop in the stock market in history. And, you know, CalPERS is 53% or 53.1%, if you want to be completely accurate, in stock. And as his assets, so as the stock market goes, so does the CalPERS.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, as we know from the independent audit, CalPERS has been lying through their teeth their entire time, and anything they say can't be trusted. They base their entire balance sheet on false actuaries.
This thing, and Alan, the reason I had Alan come in was that at different times and different elections and stuff, you have different members and different cities appoint different liaisons to the league. So, excuse me. When that happens, you have new people, and they don't. Oh, what about the unfunded pensions? Oh, we've never heard about it. We don't have those in our city. And I said, well, actually, you do. So the reason I wanted Alan to come in was to give a primer, if you will, on CalPERS and what's going on. And there were so many people in that room that had no idea what was going on. There might have been four or five of us that could really speak to the issue.
Sure.
And then the rest of them were just trying to learn. And the problem with it is it's just like a fog comes over. And if I could mention this, I have a particular fellow that I know. I'm not around him a lot, but I know him here in town. And I got the feeling when I saw him here not too long ago that maybe he didn't like Gary. And I thought, I wonder what I've done. So I asked a friend of mine who knows this individual really well. The guy's a nice guy. And the friend of mine told me, he said, no, Gary, said, he likes you a lot. He likes the things that you do on the council and talking. He said, the only thing that that you are, you're a broken record.
On the CalPERS?
On the CalPERS and the unfunded pensions. Well, the thing with it is, folks, it's $300 million, and we're on payment plans. We have two pension plans, and both of them, one has $70 million, and one is, I don't know, $250, $270, something like that. So it's over $300 million. If this isn't something that the city staff and the other four, they know it. I have preached this to them since before I was elected, but we still are not doing anything.
I think they
about
don't
it.
Understand the ramifications and what the effect is going to be for the people who have pensions and are relying on pensions at some point. Because, you know, I'm looking at a 60% haircut at the end of the day or better on the people that are getting these pensions.
The mm-hmm. data that I've looked at and that we've put together and vetted with some people is the city of Reading, when the bill comes due, and we know that the bills are coming due, the city of Loyalton's already been hit and been told you are going to pay your unfunded liability. They got hit with a $1 million bill for five employees, and that's just the beginning for the city of Loyalton. What we've looked at for the city of Reading, our unfunded liability exposure is going to be 320% of current payroll a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been screaming about it for, you know.
I know.
We're done.
They just don't quite get it. Anyway,
we have a caller on the line. Good morning, Rich. Got a question for Gary? Good morning.
Morning, Rich.
Good morning. Yeah, quick question for the councilman on.
I guess
sales
Rich is
tax.
Not there.
Yeah,
I'm curious during this whole process, when did the
Rich.
Council sit down formally?
Start, Rich,
the
Rich,
budget?
Rich, Rich, could you start with the question again?
We're
having an audio problem.
Okay. Question for the councilman regarding the sales tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious when the city council formally sat down and went through this existing city budget and see if there was a way for them to find some other monies versus taxing, raising a tax on the residents. And the reason why I ask this question, over the last couple of years, the Record Searchlight, usually in the fall, publishes a lengthy, in-depth article on wages and benefits. Mm-hmm. And that article shows you have firemen here in the city of Reading that are making over $100,000 in overtime alone on top of their six-figure salary and their expensive benefits. So how can you – and you voted for to take this – to send this tax to a vote. How can you ask the citizens of Reading to pay more taxes when you have employees making six figures in overtime alone? And I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, Rich. I understand exactly what you're saying. First of all, yes, I did vote for to put it on the ballot. And if people have been listening to the city council meeting when we voted on that, I made the statement that back then, and I don't know if I'm going to get myself in trouble saying this now that it's on there, but the reason that I voted for it was I will never take away the people's right to vote on an issue.
So you voted to have it put to the vote.
Have it put to the vote.
And the vote then came back saying that they wanted it? Or they're going
to... Well, no, the council...
They haven't
the council
voted yet.
Voted, no, the council voted to put it on the ballot.
Right, okay.
My vote was to put it
on
the
ballot.
Ballot,
not for the tax itself.
Yeah, I just we voted to put it on the ballot.
Right.
I didn't say whether I'm voting favor or against or anything else. All I said was that I'm voting in favor of putting it on the ballot so you, the people of the city of Reading, have a chance to vote this yay or nay, whichever way you want to go.
And that's coming in November.
Well, that's coming in November.
Okay. Again, what assurances do the people of Reading, the citizens of Reading, and the citizens of Shasta County have that money will not be used simply to replace money taken out of the public safety budget to cover CalPERS. I mean, we have a city council, a city councilman that when they were elected promised to bring us a change in safety, to increase the safety of City of Reading. That evolved into the blueprint for safety.
$105,000.
Yeah, which
is
$105,000.
Stop
it. Nothing has been done. It's been a complete boondoggle. And so why should anybody have any faith that this money is actually going to be used for what it's supposed to be used for? What assurances are there going to be that's what it's used for?
Well, they voted to have a committee put together. I'm not in favor of that. I think it ought to be completely separate from the city of Reading, and should be set up to the point to where it's audited continually. They are saying they're going to put the money into a separate account, which I think needs to be done. But I'm looking. I'll be quite truthful with you. I'd like to see some changes made to how it's going to be handled before it goes to the ballot. So we have until like August the 9th or 10th to really change things if we want.
What assurances do we have that that'll actually provide new officers, not just increase the salaries of current officers?
Well, in essence, you don't.
We should just trust them, right?
Well, if the council wants to be transparent, as they say they do, then it should be to the point that you have an accounting firm
audit, yeah,
and audit it yearly and know where the money goes
an outside accounting firm.
Outside, yeah, not
a third party.
Yeah, completely private.
So we're supposed to trust a city council that has accomplished nothing for public safety other than spending $105,000 to come up with let's have a tax.
Mm-hmm. And wait a minute, no. How much time?
Because we called
back in January of 15. What was my statement?
Yeah.
To do nothing now is simply not an option. And see, we've simply not an option. Almost 18 months later.
Yeah.
And it's going to be November before it's voted on, and then I think it's going to actually be implemented in April 1st of next year or something like that. So we've got probably a year and a quarter. I mean, 2 years and a quarter, it's going to be 24, 25, 30 months, something like that, before some of this money starts coming in and we start actually seeing something happening.
Well,
so,
the city burns.
So when this all starts to really affect, do you think there's going to be layoffs at the city-county level? I mean, are people going to start losing their jobs or over this pension crap and all this other stuff?
Well, Mark, there's going to be an accounting coming up here in the very near future. There's going to be quite a program put on. But I have been saying all along that CalPERS put us on a payment plan that started in 15-16, that's this year. And it had an additional $1.7 million. All right. Then that accelerated 1.7, 4.4, 6.8, and it accelerated up to 19-20, in the neighborhood of $11-12 million. So it's going to accelerate each year. Now see, this is going to show up to the city excuse me, in the CalPERS report that we get every year in a percentage of salary. So the percentage of salary is going up. So public safety is going to go up to right around 58% of salary. Right now I think they're right around 48.5 or 49. So public safety is going to go up to 59%, and then the miscellaneous, I think, now is about 44. It's going to go up to about, I think it's 53 is what it's projected for. Well, when these go up, each year your budget's going to go this. It's like right now. You go take a look at the police department budget today. Take a look at the police department budget today, and then you go back and look at the police department budget back in 2008. And you're going to find that the police department budget is substantially higher today than it was then. But then we had 19 sworn police officers. We had 14 CSOs, community service officers. So we had a larger police department at a less cost in 2008 than what it's costing today. And this is not because of raises. This is because of CalPERS. And the percentage.
So we're going to keep shrinking, is what you're saying.
And what we're saying is it's even worse than that, because CalPERS is lying through their teeth. And at the end of the day, to be solvent, if we started right now to float the city of Reading's retirement liability, it's 320% of payroll a year. It's way worse than what CalPERS.
So the rubber's going to hit the road pretty soon, is what you're saying.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah.
And when it does, what are you going to do? Are you going to start laying people off? I mean,
maybe.
Do
we start cutting some of the salaries?
The people of the city of Reading, you mentioned laying people off, they're going to go ballistic. I mean, this is politically is not going to work. I mean, we need to hire more police officers.
Four people on the council, are they aware of all this and do they care?
Well, they're aware of it because I can't tell you what goes on in the back room, but it gets a little hot back there upon occasion, and they don't like Gary, but that's fine. I stand up for what I believe in and let it hang out and let them vote, and that's the way it is.
We got a caller?
We do. We've got Bruce from Reading on the line. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning, Bruce.
Got a question?
Morning.
Just a quick question. I wonder if Gary could give an update on the pilot lawsuit for the in lieu tax issue. Isn't it a likely event that you're probably going to lose that? And if you do lose it, won't that cook the city?
In a matter of speaking, Bruce, the last we got an update from the city was it's before the state Supreme Court, and I thought that we would be hearing something from the court by now, but we're into June, but it's before the court. Now, the appeals court ruled in favor of the people that brought this lawsuit. So the city's on the short end there. So the
right.
City, of course, is hoping that the Supreme Court is going to turn that ruling around, which I don't know from what I'm hearing, it's might not. And then the thing with it is that's $6 million a year, and that suit was filed, I believe, in 2011. And I don't know whether that's going to be grandfathered just to the $6 million or whether it could be $6 million compounded. I'm not sure what's going to happen with it, but right now the city let's put it this way, the city's not in a good position before the court rules. So we're going to have to wait to see how that happens. It probably could be almost any time.
Yeah, well, that's kind of scary. I wouldn't be surprised if the city loses. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, and this is going to be a nationwide thing. Like I say, this is almost every municipality in the country is on the same defined benefits program as opposed to the old model of the defined contributions, which would limit the amount that you would have to pay into these pension plans based on market forces and market events. These guys are guaranteeing a certain amount of money regardless of, we could all be sitting in a 29 depression here and they're saying we still want 7.5% and you owe it to us, and it's not going to happen.
Well, that's there's some people that work in other states that are working on some measures to help rectify these problems. And the thing with it was down there Mr. Milligan in Sacramento last Friday, there were several people asked the questions, well, we can't do this in the citywide. It's got to be done in the state. Mr. Milligan says, don't wait for the state.
Well,
said, you're completely wrong in waiting for the state. The state does not have the willpower. They said, well, if we change governors, you can change all governors you want to change. You got to change the attitude of the majority party in the legislature.
At this point, though, is it not a fair statement to say there is no solution, there is no way out of this?
No, there is solutions out of it.
Yeah.
There are, but...
what are they?
Well, this is something I'm talking about. That meeting is going to come up in July, and that's I'd rather wait and make it on.
I'd say the state of Jefferson might be a pretty good solution.
Well, the state of Jefferson is going to pick up part of that. But see, well, there's one way out of it. I mean, there's one way, and I'm sure the city employees don't like this, and I don't like it. I'm just saying this is a way out, and that is outsource. And if you outsource different departments within the city, and you go out to a certain individual and say, okay, we RFP, put a request for proposal out there and have the individuals come in and say, okay, we'll take over this particular department and
so,
we will give the city of Reading X.
So in other words, you might pay what the market, wage, a free market wage would be out there instead of these bloated salaries and pensions.
Yeah, and then that particular department would no longer they'd have a copy.
So they'd lose all they'd lose their jobs.
But
they could actually even be taken over to the new company, or they could be replaced. One or the other.
But there's going to be a haircut.
That savings the city gets, that savings could be paid for the unfunded pensions.
Wow.
Or we can go into bankruptcy.
I wanted to talk about Redflex, but we're not going to have time. We're down to the last couple minutes here. But, yeah, I want to talk about Redflex at some point. We would come back and specifically because that is a big, huge problem, I think,
Where's
that needs
the money?
To be dealt with. Yeah. Yeah, nobody seems to know where the money's going. We've got a contract with a criminal,
Does that go to city or county?
Well,
the city.
Yeah,
I've been able to receive an accounting from the city of the funds that they have received. The logjam of figuring out where the $3.5 million that's missing comes from the county. They will not disclose where those funds are.
Yeah, we'd like to know where all this money's going, and it's been ruled unconstitutional already. Why is this thing going on? Because it's such a cash cow? We need to find out and get to the bottom of this thing, and more people are starting to get upset about this because these $400 tickets are nothing more than the alcalde raping the citizenry at this point.
Well, and sometime I'd like to come back and talk about REU, but
that's another one. Yeah, well, we'll have to get
you
back in.
Well, we'll have you back. And don't forget, he'll be at the meeting on Monday night, too, to answer questions if people want to, ask him questions.
Very good. Well, I think we're down to the last 30 seconds. We should probably start hearing the music any time now. So, once again, we have to say it. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties and freedom above security.
And don't forget Tuesday to get out and vote. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
60 pledged delegates at stake. Exactly the number Hillary Clinton needs to win the Democratic nomination. To get all 60, Clinton would need to win more than 85% of the vote today. Both Clinton and her rival Bernie Sanders have visited Puerto Rico and pledged to help as the U.S. territory tries to restructure $70 billion worth of public debt. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich says Donald Trump's criticism of a federal judge hearing a lawsuit against Trump University is one of the candidate's worst mistakes and is inexcusable.
He has every right to criticize a judge. And he has every right to say certain decisions aren't right. And his attorneys can file to move the venue from the judge. But first of all, this judge was born in Indiana. He is an American, period.
Gingrich appeared this morning on Fox News Sunday. He declined to accuse the presumptive Republican presidential nominee of racism.